What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode. I'm Bobby.
Hey, this is Chi.
And I'm going to be powering through my sickness with whiskey. I wasn't going to drink, and then I was like, I feel fucking awful.
Did you at least turn the whiskey into a hot toddy?
Or? Yeah, well, what's a hot toddy? I was going to ask you.
It is whiskey with honey, lemon, and cinnamon.
If I had the time, I would have done that. That sounds awesome.
Yeah.
But I just put it in the microwave. It's just straight whiskey with microwave.
So here we go. At least it's warm.
It's warm. And it's slowly becoming room temperature, which is it is what it is. DLG Con 2020. I have officially put my fake credit card money down, and it's ours. It's ours, at least in writing. The guy called me and he's like, you're gonna have to explain what you mean. You have a podcast. Are all of your listeners coming? And I was like, no, just a few people, a few special people, and it could be you. So click on the link, dlgaming.net, and check out the house. Check out the prizes. I mean, there's shit down at the bottom that's the same as like a Best Western or something, you know, four nights for like $200. That's cheap as fuck.
Looks like the Liddy McTitty nursery is still available, too.
It is.
Days and I were talking about it, and we were talking about the crib, and I forgot what she said, like who was going to be the baby of the con house, and yeah. I'm like, that crib is a recycling bin. What are you talking about?
Recycling bin.
Yeah.
How?
It was like a... semi-inappropriate abortion and recycling.
Gee, we're
joke.
2 minutes
I'm sorry.
In. We're 2 minutes in.
You know, are we going to throw all the party bottles in there?
Oh, there we go.
Yeah, we're going to put a trash bag in the little crib.
Remember.
Let me offend you.
The owner might be listening to this episode to see what we're all about.
Oh, really?
So, we're going to be doing a lot of crafts.
That was just a horrible joke. Yeah. I meant recycling bin for our bottles.
Our bottles, yeah.
Yeah. It was also a horrible joke. Don't disrespect the baby like that.
So check it out. And
lots of rooms available. This link will be in the show notes. So if you can scroll down on your whatever
device
app you're using to listen to this, you'll see it right there. You know, just take a look. And last week we complained about how we had some generic picture up here in the background, but now we have pictures from last year's DLG Con. So if you want to take a look there, you can see all the fun we were having. And it's going to be a good time. That's going to be during TwitchCon, so September 24th through 28th. You got lots of time, but don't wait too long.
I'm sorry that got really awkward. That was not an abortion joke. I was just kidding.
I got you.
When I said recycling bin, I actually meant the party cups and the bottles.
Ray says not abortions. Speaking of Ray, he said he's going to be back next week. He needed to take a break. Well, he knew that he heard that she was going to be on, and so he's like, fuck that noise.
Yeah, it's my turn to carry some weight
there you go.
Around the cast since I've been gone on plenty of trips. Actually, this past week, I don't have much to talk about video game-wise because I was in New York City for the first time celebrating my cousin's 30th birthday. So, lots of fun as well.
Mm. You're a jet setter, Chi.
I know. I'm tired. I'm broke and tired.
I bet.
All right, so if you tuned in last Friday, you caught that interview. Sniper stepping up to the plate and handling one of the interviews for us. I thought he did a great job. He was interviewing Blair Renard, the creator of Lo-Fi, really into VR games, talked at length about that. Really interesting conversation. Recommend you check it out.
Yeah, he has like 6 VR companies. Mm-hmm. They're all doing, including Weed VR, where you can like put together your own strains in like 3D space or whatever. And apparently it blew up. He's like, no, I'm not going to back that. And then somehow it has tons of people doing it.
That's awesome.
Yep. And we're still trying to get one of those out every Friday. So, you know, be sure to tune in on Fridays. And lots of stuff. Like, we can't really go into detail because it's all boring anyway. But we're doing lots of stuff behind the scenes, just trying to give the podcast a little facelift in different areas here. Possible website remake coming up, so don't want to spoil anything.
Ooh, I just got chills.
Big deal, guys. but we're trying to improve some stuff on the back end just to, you know, make this a little more legit. But also, this is a big deal here.
This
our is. Battle stations, r/battlestations, the subreddit, huge subreddit. How many are doing a giveaway on there?
I keep guessing on the on how many people they have. It's like over 2 million, right?
It usually shows.
If you don't know what Reddit is or how it works, anyway.
The people have downloaded a podcast. I'm sure they know what Reddit is.
Battlestation is just pictures of people's rigs with zero to no context either. It's just the picture.
Yeah.
And anyway, they're hosting our contest. So that's awesome. Super cool. Thank you guys if you're listening.
Yeah. So we're going to be giving away two more of the Fractal Design coolers. Again, one we're going to be giving away random, and then the other one we're going to be choosing a winner. And the competition is, what is it called? Show us your rear ends. All right. So you're going to show us the back of your computer. We want to see your cable management.
Yeah.
We want to see who's got the best or most, I don't know, creative cable management.
Sure.
It's not always the best effective, that wins.
Effective, funny. Look what happened last time. It was a guy with a cat that believes in aliens.
Did you see his follow-up picture of the he got the thing and his cats are crawling over it? I thought that was good. Yeah. Check out, this will be in the show notes as well, but also just check out r/battlestations. I mean, I love looking at pictures of other people's computers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It'd be interesting if somebody sent in a submission and there was just something just lodged back there or lost in time and space. And it was like, for instance, mine would probably be some moldy frickin' cheese or something very disturbing. I wonder like how often it's like looking underneath the bed or the couch after not really having an area.
It really is.
So I'd be impressed if somebody really does keep their backside as clean as you could, because I imagine the dirtiest backside should be a reward. All
you can imagine
the
what mine looks like. It's terrible. Mine, honestly, behind my computer is Mayan artifacts. Like, you can find some crazy shit.
Probably.
Yeah.
Thank you to Controlled Pairs coming in with a subscription.
If anybody knows how to sell Mayan artifacts, get at me. Send me a DM. I don't know what to do with these things.
Do you actually have Mayan artifacts?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, and Ray's got a 10-month subscription here now.
Hey!
Boom. Nice. What is this thank button? What does that do?
Boom.
All right. Shout out to others, one of our sponsors as well, Insidious. Emilio is still selling that.
I am. And 100% of our sales have been coming from, we have local sales to friends and family. But everything that we saw on the website is been sold through you guys. So thank you very much for that. Because this is the only place that we've advertised so far. We plan on advertising on a bunch of other podcasts and influencers, you know, stuff like that, streamers, whatever. And doing like a revenue share type thing. But for now, I'm even giving the podcast a little bit of money kickback through everything that we get from you guys.
Can I at least get a can for myself?
I wish I had some. I don't have any. Somebody came. We moved the whole operation to Christian's house because he doesn't have a dog, and there is not hair flying all over the round. You know, we have a super clean room that we do it there. So anyway, buy it. It's awesome.
Awesome. Maybe for Christmas. Could be my Christmas gift. Some Insidious.
Could be.
Great stocking stuffers, guys.
They are. Think about a hockey puck. Maybe a little bit bigger. Have you seen the new jars?
No.
No? Yeah. Bigger than a hockey puck.
There's a picture on our website.
Yeah. We got to update all those pictures.
Yeah, because you used to have a larger container.
Yeah. Same amount. It just looks like... Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
It has a super wide mouth for dipping and stuff.
That's awesome.
Yep.
Cool. All right. Let's talk about some video games. On the Radar section of the show where we talk about games that have come to our attention. There's going to be a lot of this because recently the Game Awards happened last Thursday. They always do it on a Thursday. I don't know why. They did it on a weekend. I'd probably drive up to LA just to attend it. I'll talk a little more at length about that during the highlights section because I did watch all of it. I don't know if you guys got a chance to catch any of it. It's a 3.5-hour show. Yeah. But they did. They always announce a lot of games at these.
What channel was it on?
The internet.
Okay.
It's on. It's streamed by
what's the IP, dude?
It's like IGN and GameSpot. Like they all stream it.
Is there? Is it not on Spike TV or?
No, not
I think
anymore.
It used
not
to anymore. Be right.
Oh yeah.
How long ago was that?
That was before
three
they
or four years
doing
ago.
New. Well, okay. So in 2013, they did this really weird version of the Game Awards, or they still had a different name. It was like VGX or something, and it was co-hosted by that guy from Community, you know, like the tall, kind of lanky guy, Joel McHale.
Joel McHale, yeah.
Yeah, and it was a disaster, and they had so many technical problems, and it was horrible. And then they kind of but before that, so before 2013, it was the Spike Game Awards, and it was just, you know, it was just a silly, goofy celebration of video games, not serious at all. Samuel L. Jackson would host. They would have just like any popular YouTuber come out. Like it was all just one big meme, not to be taken seriously, but you know, fun, I suppose. Then they tried to get a little more serious with it in 2013 when Jeff Kiley came in. And then in 2014, up until now, they've been trying to mimic the Oscars basically.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe not, but they have like really classy musical, performances.
Who they have this year?
They had Grimes.
Oh yeah, that's why Elon Musk showed up.
Yeah, he gave them the most. Oh, it was.
That's his girlfriend. Yeah.
Oh, okay, yeah. That explains so much because after the performance, he like went to give a standing ovation, but then kind of looked around and saw that nobody else was, and was just like, oh, okay, still giving the standing ovation.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, and
do that.
Yeah, and so Grimes was also performing because their music is going to be in Cyberpunk 2077. They're actually going to be in-game. Right. Like, their characters are going to be a band in-game. So that's cool. But also Green Day was there. Churches performed. And then, you know, the orchestra just did a couple of numbers from, like, Death Stranding or whatever. And, that was cool. But that's kind of the evolution of the Game Awards. So now it's kind of treated with a little more dignity, I suppose, but it's still,
nobody's going to take you seriously unless you take yourself seriously, I guess.
Yeah. But yeah. There's still a lot of advertising and there's still a little bit of silliness here and there, but I mean, mm-hmm. it's cool.
Did you say Green Day?
Yeah. Green Day.
Oh, I was on Reddit. It's called, r/r, it took too much. And it's just people that took way too much drugs.
Mm-hmm.
And one of it's Billy Joel something, right?
Billy Joe Armstrong.
Yeah, and he's just tweaking, dude, on stage, like his hands going like this, and he still fucking sang his song perfectly, but he's like,
wow.
Yeah.
Who knows what he was thinking. Musicians operate, man. They can do it in their sleep.
Yeah.
Okay, so we talked a little bit about the Game Awards there, but we'll talk a little more later just about my general reaction to it. But a lot of games were announced there. First up, Prologue. This is the new game from the guy who made Battlegrounds. Well, yep. PlayerUnknown Battlegrounds. I can't remember his
I don't know. Yeah.
Oh.
His screen name is PlayerUnknown. Yeah. So I'm playing the trailer for you right here. This game is called Prologue. And you can see absolutely nothing's happened. There's some rain coming down in a forest. It's a first-person perspective here. He looks one way, he looks the other way, and that's all. We can't really pull much from it. People did ask him questions afterwards. Obviously, he said it is not PUBG 2, and he said it is not a first-person shooter.
Yeah,
that's all we know about this game.
Yep, graphics look great. That's all we can say.
It's a really good teaser.
Yeah, for sure.
Is it?
I'm intrigued.
I don't know. I look at this, I'm like, why even announce it? Like, what is this?
We're talking about it, dude.
Yeah, well, we have to. We're a PC gaming podcast. We don't have a choice.
I mean, the teaser, it's there to give you room for speculation.
Yeah.
You know, to have
it teases
all of these buzzwords around it. Just based on that 20-second little teaser and knowing that it's not a shooter, I can only assume this is going to be something like Firewatch. Maybe it's a walking sim.
I don't know.
In a forest, it's raining, you're looking around.
Here's my guess. Let's each take a swing at this. I think it's going to be like a caveman type thing. Prologue, like the prologue to humankind. That's what I'm guessing.
Hmm.
You guys?
Did they just try to do that? There was a game that it didn't do very
Sapiens?
Well.
No.
I don't know. If he plays his strengths, which is survival games,
yeah,
I can anticipate this being somewhat a survival game.
Yeah, it seems like the frantic looking around. It seems like a survival game.
But even the forest, I would almost consider a shooter because you can pick up items, interact with the mobility and whatnot.
Really
a shooter. It's not a shooter per se, but it's that first person's perspective and the movement and
It wouldn't be a shooter, but you could still have it. Yeah. I guess this is a quote. Prologue is an exploration of new technologies and gameplay. Our aim with this game is to give players unique and memorable experiences each and every time they play. View the teaser trailer here. Maybe it's a roguelike with AAA graphics.
Yeah, that doesn't... He didn't really say anything in that.
Yeah.
I don't know. Speculation. More details coming soon, I'm sure. I was just going to move on to the next game unless you had anything more to say about Prologue.
Nope. I was going to say, I forgot to say, use the code DLG at checkout at Insidious for 10% off your entire order.
Oh, yeah.
Sorry.
That's important.
It is. You're surprised. Even though they're podcast listeners, maybe 30% of people aren't using the code. Mm. If you just click the link on our website, it should apply it automatically.
Yeah. Okay, next up, Senua's Saga. Hellblade 2, the sequel to Senua's Sacrifice.
Man.
The trailer was good. Did you guys watch the trailer?
I saw about half of it.
Okay. So a little backstory on this that covers a little more of the Game Awards. They also announced the new Xbox system, which we knew about, Project Scarlet, but they actually showed it. It looks like a big black computer, basically. But they said, you know, they started talking a little tech specs, like this is what it's going to be capable of. And they said this game is really going to work well on it, or I don't know, this is going to be released along with it. And it's one of the games that was kind of designed to work well on that machine. And the trailer itself, very visceral. I mean, I didn't even play Senua's Sacrifice, but this looks very good.
Play a little. Man, you got to play that game, Bobby. It's short and it's fucking intense and it's great.
Yeah.
It's so good. Ooh. Looks like Senua took a dark side.
Is that her, though, in the trailer?
It looks like her, I think. I don't know. There's a lot of makeup on.
Yeah, very creepy music. Some weird stuff going on. Looks like some occult things. I don't know.
So at the end of the first one, I guess I can pretty much say it. You don't know. It's one of those things where you don't know if you actually just went through all that or the entire thing was in her head or some kind of mix of the two. People's opinions are all over. So it's kind of like if there's a sequel, is she just more insane or were the demons real? Like, who knows? A lot of questions. The first thing that I thought.
That is her, by the way.
Yeah. The first thing that I thought was it was just kind of like Xbox kind of or Microsoft threw their money around and like demanded a sequel because it was the first one was such a big hit. But I don't know. Mm-hmm. It looks fucking awesome. I ain't watched the whole trailer.
Yeah, I'm sure it'll sell very well just based on the reputation of the prior game. But I got some catching up to do. I really do need to play.
Do you think Senua is going to be an Xbox exclusive?
Sounds like it might be.
Being that
I don't think so. I thought I looked it up and they said it's going to be. And you know, with Microsoft now, pretty much or everything's like on PC.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, or for a limited time before it's released on anything else to create traction around purchasing the console. Maybe that's what they're doing.
Yeah, maybe they'll bundle it up. But yeah, like Bobby said, everything that goes on Xbox goes on PC now. So it's only PlayStation that's being the really. Oh, and Nintendo. That are being the last ones to not share.
It is not coming to PlayStation 4.
It was 3 years ago, Mr. Silent. 4 years ago.
And the new Xbox is... What's the actual official name of the new Xbox? Series X? Xbox X?
Xbox Series X.
Series X. So dumb.
So the Xbox X.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's okay. So dumb.
XSX. I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah, it doesn't
Xbox,
exactly roll
with two
off
X's
the
at the end.
Do you remember why?
So it's like a triple Xbox.
Do you know why they named the other one 360? It's because it would have been the PlayStation 3 going up against the Xbox 2, and they didn't want to like sound like less. So they're like, "Ooh, we'll name it 360, which is better than 3."
Oh, I gotcha.
It's a marketing thing.
Yeah, the Xbox One came out after the Xbox 360, but it wasn't the first Xbox.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so it will be on PC. Weird, right? Senua's Saga, Hellblade 2, coming out for PC.
It is a lame name. That is true.
I don't know. I mean, my gamer handle has a random X in it. What does this need? More X's. Let's do it.
It's one of those things where, like, it just works. I don't know. I've never thought that you pronounce the X. I was just like, oh, that obviously says Smoochie.
Oh, no, you don't pronounce the X. It's just so I have a unique handle across the board.
Mexicans are used to not pronouncing X's, so it probably seems a little normal to you.
Yeah. Have you met my name, my friend Javier, or been to my country, Mexico?
Yeah, that's true.
All right. Next up, The Wolf Among Us 2, the sequel to The Wolf Among Us. So 2016, Telltale Games goes under, right? The development stops on The Wolf Among Us 2, which was in the works, but I guess it's somehow been revived. There's a little bit of a story to that that I read, but it wasn't that interesting, and I don't remember.
I think there was some company that just really wanted to see it out, so they picked up the rights or whatever. Mm-hmm. If there's any rights left when the company dies, I don't know how that works. But a lot of people say this is the best Telltale game there ever was. The first one was.
It was my favorite.
Yeah.
Out of all the Telltale games, Hotshot Inc. Thank you for the Twitch Prime sub.
Thank you.
Thanks.
But yeah, out of all the Telltale games, obviously the first one, right? The first Walking Dead. I mean, that kind of ushered us into the whole age of Telltale.
Right.
But looking back on all of them, The Wolf Among Us was the one I enjoyed the most. And it's the one I think about actually replaying. At this point, I'll just wait for the sequel.
I really like the Borderlands one, too.
I played the first chapter or two, and I couldn't...
I thought it was funny.
Didn't stick. I think I was kind of over Telltale at this point.
Yeah, yeah. That was their own problem. They were like... they're a victim of their own success because they kept doing the same thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So nothing much on the trailer here. It's another teaser trailer. There's a little bit of dialogue. There's some real synthy music, and it looks about the same as the old one. But this is actually in... pre-production, I heard. So this is a ways off. I don't think we can expect this anytime soon. There's been no word if they're going to release it chapter by chapter, like the last one, or if they're just going to release them all at once, or if they're even going to have five or six separate chapters.
I don't think it's going to come out, just based on what you just said, dude. I don't know.
I mean, they announced it at the Game Awards, so.
The world is like, it's like our world, except for it has fantasy creatures, so. People
well, it's based
cars.
Off a comic book, right?
Yeah.
That I'm not, I never read, but I think Chad was a fan of it.
Yeah.
What was that comic book called? Fantasy something?
I don't know.
It's based off, you know, Little Jack Horner, the Big Bad Wolf, Little Red Riding Hood. These are all characters in the real world. They're all anthropomorphic somewhat, and they're all kind of living these gritty lifestyles.
Yeah.
So.
Fantasy noir.
Yeah. It's very much like a noir, but the video games are actually prologues to the comic books that take place before them.
Mm-hmm.
And this one, the sequel is actually still in the before time of the comic books.
I love it when sequels are announced for games that I have always had on the back burner, but never really played. It almost lights a fire underneath the pan in terms of, oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Completely forgot about that game that I know I'll enjoy. And it gives you almost a just cause to have it played. For instance, like Jumanji 2, that movie.
Yeah, yeah.
I enjoyed the first one, but invited my boyfriend to watch the first one again with me.
Uh-huh.
And rewatched it. Had some good laughs, and I'm actually excited to go see it in theaters.
Yeah.
And it would motivate me to go see it in theaters. And when we were looking at it, we rented it on Amazon, but I almost was convinced that they should have just put it on Amazon Prime for free.
For free, yeah.
So that way they can get more money back with the second premiere.
Who just did that? Somebody gave
game should
game
do
out.
That too, in my opinion.
No, they just did.
Yeah, they gave The Wolf Among Us the first version you can get for free right
it's
now.
It's this game.
Oh, for, yeah. Okay, there
wow,
you go.
Look,
hey,
look how that happened. That was completely organic.
Yeah. Well, there you go. Did we mention that already?
No.
There you go.
It's one of the free games on the Epic Store right now.
Yeah.
As well as Jotun, or I can't remember what the other one was, but also starting, I think, December 17th or 18th, they're going to start giving away one free game a day or two free games a day. They're giving away 12 free games on Epic Store. They're just
now when they're giving them away, you download them and then you get to hold on to them forever, or is it just for a free to play period?
No, you activate them on Epic Games and it adds it to your library.
Okay, there. Great.
Yeah. Forever.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, if you've never played The Wolf Among Us, then I'd recommend it, especially for free.
Especially if you haven't played a Telltale game, it's worth checking out.
Or finished a Telltale game.
Yeah, a lot of people don't finish them, including me. Like, I've started a ton of them. I finished one, maybe two.
Mm. I finished a couple of them. Walking Dead, the Jurassic Park one, the second Walking Dead one, the one in between the two Walking Dead ones.
Yeah.
And Wolf Among Us. Yeah, Borderlands didn't finish, didn't start the Batman one.
Somebody picked up the Walking Dead 3
one. Oh, the Back to the Future ones. I played all those. Walking Dead 3, yeah, never.
Yeah, somebody picked it up, though. I feel like, just like this one. Anyway, yeah. Moving on.
All right, next up is Sons of the Forest, another sequel to The Forest.
Oh. This is what I want to say. I want to add a movie. This is very important. I have a very short list of sequels that are better than the first game or movie. Home Alone. Clearly, the second one is much better than the first one in every way. Wow. Yeah.
Okay. Yep. All right. That's an opinion.
Would you not say?
No.
What?
You kidding me, dude? The first one?
The second one's so good.
I mean, it's like Gremlins 1 and 2, you know? Like, when I was a kid, I was like, obviously, Gremlins 2 is the masterpiece. Gremlins 2, the new batch. It's got googly-eyed gremlin and the fruit salad gremlin. I mean, this is obviously great work we're doing here. But, no, dude, you go back and rewatch it as an adult. Like, the first Home Alone one, I mean...
I just watched it yesterday, and I was like, ooh, man. 2 is so... Well, I'll get back to you. We're going to watch 2 this week.
2 is a lot of zany antics, and the whole bird lady thing, like, it doesn't hold up.
They had a bird lady. It was the crazy old man next door. I was thinking that there's a lot of...
That had some emotional resonance, though. I mean, that was like, he goes to the church, he talks to him, he's afraid of him, then, like, that ties in later with the ending. Oh,
it's crazy how much you can remember, dude.
Yeah.
I completely forgot the church scene until yesterday.
Oh, yeah, dude. Home Alone 1 was good. John Candy.
Anyway, this looks creepy as shit, right?
Sons of the Forest.
Yeah, I mean, the trailer that they played looks like the opening sequence, and it actually looks a lot more familiar, or looks kind of familiar to the first one. It starts with a plane crash. You land on an island. Mm-hmm. For some reason, your character has fight demons tattooed on his arm. I don't know if that's like a memento thing, like if he's supposed to remember to fight demons, and he just looks down at his arm when he forgets or something.
I'm just going to go ahead and say I default fight demons. I might run. But if a demon popped out, I'm going to try to fight it. I don't think I'd have to be reminded.
Wow. Totally unprovoked. I mean, this demon didn't do anything. He's not attacking.
He's a demon.
He just pops up, dude.
I am racist against demons. I will go out and say it. Completely prejudiced and racist against demons.
But everyone has an inner demon. So do you just hate everyone?
What about this spider lady right here with like 4 appendages? Something's going on there.
We all have 4 appendages.
That's the Pornhubia demon.
She has 8 appendages.
Yeah, she's like writhing. I don't know. There's some weird stuff going on here. The graphics look better. I don't know. The Forest was just such a disappointment for me. I felt like that game languished in early access for so long, and I never really saw it in its final state, if there ever was one. I'm sure it's reached a final release.
Yeah, they had a 1.0.
But like the hitboxes were so weird. I had a real bad time with that game.
Really, people really like it. It's reviewed really well.
Mm-hmm.
I tried it, but I was like, I was picking up a bunch of items, and I was like, this is not for me.
I'm pretty sure it was The Forest that I played. If you're referencing the plane crash, and it's multiplayer co-op, you run off in the forest, you build a base, you defend your base from random monsters and people.
Well, I've never played it multiplayer. Neither did you, right, Bobby? You did.
Or
the multiplayer was so janky.
Yeah, that's probably it.
Do I even remember?
I'm sure it's gotten better, but the multiplayer was...
No, you're probably right, Chi, but like... It's a game that's been evolving, so you might have played it at a really good place, where we played it super early.
Not sure.
I played it in VR, actually.
Okay, next game, another game that was announced. These aren't even all the games that were announced at the Game Awards. I just picked the ones that kind of interest me. Ruined King. So the only reason I picked this one...
It's a point-and-click adventure.
No.
Oh.
It's actually a turn-based one by the people who made Battle Chasers, which I think you played, Amelia.
Yeah, they did a really good job.
So this is one of many League of Legends, or actually one of two, I should say, League of Legends side projects. So they're making single-player content now, and they've announced two of them. This is one of them. And
that's
from
awesome.
From the guys who made Battle Chasers, so I'm like, hey, it's got to be good, right? Because that was a pretty good game. At least the art style is on point.
Yeah.
That's really cool. I love that they're going this route with all that League of Money money that they have. League of Money? League of Legends money that they have. It is a League of Money. and a League of Players as a fan base. Like, the League of Legends community is more or less like a colony of its own type of gamers. So it's pretty cool that they can derive something from the core of what they do well and just create different types of titles. Blizzard did it.
Yeah. And not just that. It's like,
I think they're even doing a better job than Blizzard when it comes to working with the community that they have and then giving the gamers what they want.
Yeah, Blizzard's been going the wrong direction.
Especially with, like, when I was looking at some tournament content back when they were doing that, I was so shocked to see, like, all the different videos and you know, actual content that they would release revolving just everything League of Legends. I'm not a huge League player, but then at the same time, like, it's pretty cool. Like, Dota 2 does a lot of things right. League does a lot of things right. So for these MOBAs, there's so much that they've done to be, I guess, leagues ahead in the game.
Ooh,
pun intended.
I like it.
Yeah.
I was going to say, the article that I saw, I mean, when they announced these six or eight games or whatever it is, the headline read something like, this is a stick in the eye at Blizzard. Like, they interpreted it as a direct attack because it was coming at a time where Blizzard was at a real weak point. And so it was like kind of like kick them while they're down type thing.
Well, yeah, when they announced all these games, that was kind of how everyone interpreted it.
Yeah.
Because not only was Blizzard having some many issues, but everything that they were announcing, like, directly competed with one of Blizzard's games. So they were going to have a card game. They were going to have a first-person, like, team shooter game. Like, everything was just, like, in direct correlation with a Blizzard property.
Yeah. What's good about this is they're going to save so much time and money on character development and art style because they could just rip everything. They have such a rich, like, what do you call it?
Lore.
Lore, yeah. It's like, it goes probably hundreds of years deep of history, tons and tons and tons of characters, analog characters that go, you know, adjacent to the regular characters. So they have all of this rich lore. Yeah, just pull it, use it for all, just apply it to different other kinds of games. You can have an RTS, you can, whatever you want. I give you my blessing. Riot.
We'll see if it works out for them.
Although they're going to do some of their own political things, right? Something about chicks not being respected or whatever. See how
I felt that
chicks in there.
You know, those chicks always trying to get respect.
Those dames yapping up a storm.
So a bunch of these games on here, they didn't really announce too much about them, so we don't have to spend too much time on them, but I just like the idea that they're coming out with another Surgeon Simulator. When's the last time you even thought about Surgeon Simulator? That was one of the greatest VR games.
As soon as it came out, right? It was a launch title, I believe, for the Vive.
It might have been. I don't know. Maybe it was an early access. I want to say it was like 2013. It was in the early days for sure, but we all forgot about it. It was such a funny game and a fun game, too. It was kind of during that Fumblecore phase as well. We're overdue for a sequel, so I'm just glad to see this is coming out.
And Bobby still won't let us buy a Vive. Or whatever.
We got other things to get.
Yeah.
They don't really show too much. It doesn't even look like a simulator. At the very end. Okay, then we see the...
Oh, okay.
Why is it me?
It's a head that's going through a conveyor belt and a whole bunch of different goofy things.
Yeah. It looks like a surgery factory.
Yeah, obviously not something that should be taken seriously. So it looks like a hilarious game. I've never played it. I want to indulge in VR.
Yeah, you like You reach into the body, right, Bobby?
It's like playing for Operation, but in VR.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's fun. It's a good time. All right, last up, Star Wars Battlefront 2, Rise of the Skywalker.
Yeah, so...
Rise of the Skywalker?
Did I fuck it up?
No. Rise of Skywalker.
Yeah. Rise of Skywalker. Oh, my bad. Yeah, you know, it's a cinematic trailer. It's all in-game engine, or what so they say right here. Looks awesome. Looks fucking really, really, really good. But this game's always looked good from the very beginning. But, they're bringing in all the new stuff, all the from the last three films. So John Boyega, whatever, that's him.
Boyega.
I always fuck it up. Yeah, it has Rey and all, and Homeboy with his new helmet that's put back together. It looks great. But it's fundamentally broken. This is just a game that's kind of like not as fun as it should be, especially with how much work they put into it. But it's almost worth it just to play it for the visual feast, man. It's fucking so pretty. Maybe they'll change. Maybe they'll have some more game modes. Something will change. But this is one of those things, like, I have Premiere, so if I ever have some time, I would love to go back and try it out.
Yeah, it's always there.
It's always there.
Just 80 gigs away. I don't even know how much it is to install that. It might be more. All right, let's talk about some games that we have been playing, or the lack thereof.
Literally nobody played any games. Who's Darkseid Detective?
That's me.
Okay.
Well, I do have one thing, though. I've seen a lot of people playing the Halo collection. Did we talk about that at all when I'd missed out on a couple podcasts?
We talked about it coming out
last week. Yeah.
Well, it came up in conversation with me and someone, and I noticed a lot of people from my friends list playing the Halo collection. Yeah. I'm not a big Halo girl, even though I've played Halo in my past, and I remember just the culture around Halo as a GameStop girl and when Halo was blown up. So I honestly have no incentive to play Halo unless it's to play with friends.
Yeah,
I'd rather still play Counter-Strike than Halo. But
it's all nostalgia, right? It's all, that's who people are playing.
For some reason, the person that I was talking to, he said that the only launch for the collection was Halo Reach. And it wasn't all of the games that they said that they were going to launch. They only launched a certain title for a certain period of time before they released a different title within the collection. So even though it's a collection game, you don't get all the games in the collection. Am I wrong? Do you guys know anything about the Halo collection?
Nope. Are we looking at it?
I'm sorry that I brought this up without really looking into it.
No, it's fine.
But
I'm sure some people... Well, I think anybody who's curious about this probably already bought it.
Yeah.
$40.
So Halo, the Master Chief Collection, Halo Reach, Halo Combat Evolved Anniversary, Halo 2 Anniversary, Halo 3, Halo 3 Soundtrack, Halo 4.
Yeah, so Sniper just confirmed in chat that they're releasing them one at a time, but you're paying for the whole collection. And for me, that bothers me as a consumer because... It's basically controlling a gamer's investment into the game that you purchase. And I'm bringing this up because of the Star Wars Battlefront thing, where it's like you are monetizing on, of course, pay to win.
Yeah.
And then for this one here, it's like you pay for something and you're promised something, but you have to come back and play it again at a different time. So it's almost like keeping the audience
suspense
and forcing them to basically come back and turn on their game at a particular time.
And probably re-download it again, too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, they're different games, right?
Yeah. Oh, I see what you're saying.
So you'd have to download the other game.
Individually. Yeah, it's weird that they didn't do it all at once.
Yeah, maybe they're not.
It's weird
already.
Because any other collection that you could buy for Xbox, like I said, when I was a GameStop girl selling this shit off the shelves... You got everything that was on the box. Like, there's no way they could restrict the actual content from you when it was in hard disk form. Now they're actually restricting it because it's, built for PC, et cetera, but at the same time, as a consumer, it bothers me a lot.
Yeah, I get it. For sure.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So, before I talk about my game, let's talk about the Game Awards just in general. So did you guys get a chance to watch any of it?
No, but I saw all the winners.
Okay.
And the, so, there was something else. There was like a, there's some new categories, right?
Yeah.
I like the ongoing game one. I thought that was pretty cool. I'm sure we'll get to it. Sorry.
Yeah. They had a lot more categories this year. And I thought, how are they going to get through all that? Because in years past, they have had to rush through. You can tell that, you know, somebody was talking in over a mic to the earpiece saying, we got to hurry this up. Because they were like rushing through parts of the Game Awards.
Well, you just don't bring on the Armenian guy and that saves you 20 minutes.
Yeah, you never know, you never know how long those are going to go when you bring people on to talk.
What was that subreddit? Took too much?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Maybe, that guy took too much caffeine.
Is he the most,
or whatever.
Most upvotes? Yeah. Took too much time on stage.
Oh, when you said Halo Reach, it reminded me. So I was on Reddit today and Xbox put out this thing like, hey, take a game name and then put a holiday theme on it. Here's ours. And then show us what you got. And they said Halo Wreath, you know, as in like a Christmas wreath. Mm-hmm. And so I got to thinking because I love my puns and I came up with the Risk of Reindeer.
Oh, okay. Eh? Oh, any game. I thought it was just like,
yeah, it was like
the Halo
titles. No, no.
I'm like, oh, that's kind of a stupid contest if it's...
And then my other one was Super Mario Brothers, but it didn't really... It was a, that was a push.
Maybe we'll think of some clever ones later on.
See you, Chosen.
In the cast.
What are you doing for work now? Never mind. I'm in the middle of a podcast. Because he said that he hasn't been around because he's working now.
So the Game Awards, I thought in general, went very well this year. They managed to get through all the awards by announcing some of the winners in the pre-show. And then also, they would not do presentations for some. They would just rapid fire the game, you know, the game that won this is this. And here are the nominees for this category. And this is the winner. And here's the nominee for this category. And here are the winners. And they do like three or four like that. And they had a few spots in the show where they did that. Also, they did the thing where... If one game won an award, like Disco Elysium won several awards, and someone came over the loudspeaker and said, Disco Elysium also won Best RPG. And yeah. So they kind of combined the presentation with that.
So they adapted to potentially the feedback and their weaknesses from before and grew.
That's good.
They are ascending.
Yeah.
No, yeah, they're getting better every year. Now, I did like that they focused a little bit more. A big complaint I had in years prior was like, this is too commercial and they focus a little too much on the silliness. And this year, the Games for Impact actually got a presentation. They weren't just like, and Games for Impact goes to this guy. All right.
Right.
You know, they actually had a presentation. However, the presentation was by Beaker and what's his name? The Muppets. And it was like, it was so weird. Let me see if I can pull up the video here. But it was so weird. It's like, here's the Muppets and, you know, Beaker and Dr. Bunsen Honeydew. And then he's like, rah, 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 and they're like doing this little shtick thing. And then they're like, in Games for Impact. It's just, it was such a disconnect. But still, I'm glad they got a proper presentation. But Games for Impact, fresh indie game, they made a big deal about, you know, this is like Reggie Fils-Aimé came up and gave a little speech, you know, even though he's not president of Nintendo, he still came up and kind of talked to everybody and talked about how important the fresh, or I keep calling it fresh indie game because it was sponsored by Subway, so... Fresh, you know,
right.
Fresh, yeah. So, yeah, they kind of sold out there, but whatever.
They got to make their money, but they don't sell out. They need to pay the bills.
Yeah.
But brought to you by Insidious.
I hate to compare it to the Oscars, but the Oscars, you don't really see that, though, you know? Yeah. I mean, there are sponsors, but it's not as obviously sold
out.
Yeah,
but they're not on fucking
CBS. Yeah, no, it's a different medium. It's totally different. I can't even compare the two.
Dude, I wish we could. I wonder who gets more viewers. I would say the Game Awards do.
Well, the Oscars, you have to have a cable subscription.
Yeah.
Or you have to sign up for YouTube TV and then cancel it right after the free trial, like I did last year.
Are we in hardware? That's later, though. Okay. I got a new TV, and it has live TV on it. There's something called Samsung TV.
Oh, yeah. This TCL has that, too.
Oh.
Real live channel? Is that what you're
saying?
Yeah,
it has live TV. It's weird. I don't even know what it is. I don't pay attention to it. But
okay.
Yeah. So yeah, I liked how they were focusing on Games for Impact, also the indie games and, just like young developers too. The ongoing game one, or I'm not ongoing game, but, best community support was a new award this year. And I'm like, dude, that's great. Like,
that's great.
Let's focus on a company that actually stands by their game. And the winner of that was, oh my God, let me look up the winners. I can't believe I forgot it, but I was not surprised by the winner. I'm like, yeah, dude, that's a game, or that's a company that like stood by their game and made it better. Like a game that had
Rainbow Six, maybe?
I think it might have been Rainbow Six, but it was a game that had a long lifespan like that. And I'm like, that's what we should really be focusing on, is like companies that, you know, really that don't just try to make a quick buck, but actually.
So how Sekiro
got Death Stranding even a nominee for best game of the year.
I don't know.
It won. Or wait, no,
Sekiro.
I can see how Sekiro would win. Yeah. It was an amazing game.
Fresh indie game was Disco Elysium. They won like four different things. Game direction was Death Stranding. That's right. They did win some.
Listen up, developers. Look, somebody took a leap and did something super weird, and Disco Elysium just crushed it.
Yeah, best independent game. Mm-hmm. Game for Impact was Gris.
Well, it also is concerning too when it, because if for a lot of the nominees, like how good of a year was it 2019 for video games in terms of the variety of games available to play? Because I feel like for myself and for a lot of other gamers, I feel like there was a huge drop off. There wasn't as much natural enthusiasm for a lot of titles because like games that like the big titles like Cyberpunk coming out, that's so like games are announced so far forward now that it's, we get excited for games that aren't even realistically on a good pipeline for a gamer. I feel like a lot of the games, like the enthusiasm, it's kind of stretched out. And I feel like the games this year, honestly, I can't, even looking at the list of nominees, I can't say there's a significant competition between each category. So
I see what you're saying.
Like the independent games, go back to the winner. You said Disco Elysium won so many, but how many of the other games that were nominated competing with it were actually decent titles? And that's, you know, that would hold up authentic competition with them.
So, well,
for instance, that's why I'm confused why Death Stranding is, you know, one of the game of, is a game
got
of the
a
year.
Lot of love at the awards show. I'm not
Death Stranding.
I
really?
Mean, I didn't play it, so I don't know. But the ongoing or the community support award went to Destiny 2. That was the game that won, which I thought was appropriate.
Oh, because
that's a game that really has stood the test of time.
And right now, apparently, it's better than it's ever been.
Yeah,
that's what I'm hearing.
It's in a great spot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's all because of them adding more content and just supporting the game and listening to player feedback.
Dude, I don't know one person who played Control. Not one.
Or I think it was bigger on console.
Yeah, it's on Epic.
That's the thing.
Can we scroll down to a little more to the next category for me?
Well, Astral Game of the Year, you want to see what it was up against, so
Control. The smaller titles. I meant the smaller titles. What it was up against, Disco Elysium.
I think it was.
Oh, yeah. Independent games.
Yeah.
Let me find that one. I mean, it's always weird watching these because we're PC gamers, and a lot of this stuff is consoles. So independent game, Baba Is You, Katana Zero, Outer Wilds, Untitled Goose Game.
I don't even know what one of those is. I played it.
We know Goose Game.
Yeah, we know Goose Game. Yeah. Outer Wilds is supposed to be really good. Katana Zero mini
play.
Was
very good.
Baba Is You is supposed to be really good, too. I've been meaning to check that one out. But yeah, these are independent games. They're not going to be like the most popular ones out there. Goose Game, I mean, I don't know. Maybe I have to play that, but it just seems like Goat Simulator to me. Maybe I'm writing it off, being too dismissive, but it just seems like a meme. I'm not sure why that's there.
Maybe I misspoke then. But I honestly, I don't know. I feel like even trying to think of the game of the year was a challenge for me. I felt like I was pulling at straws.
Yeah.
Like, okay, what was actually...
But I think...
Good.
I don't know. Like, I have the same exact feeling, but I don't even think. Like, I know a lot of that is me. Like, I just wasn't into gaming as much this year. I wasn't really looking for... I wasn't chasing all the new titles. I think I'm reaching, like a lot of people, kind of a burnout with like all like get hyped for this, get hyped for that. And like year after year, there's disappointment and nothing really delivers. And, you know, you find some good ones here and there, but it's not like when you're a kid and like a game comes out and changes your whole world, you know, like World of Warcraft.
That's why we're announcing here today that we're going to become a retro video gaming podcast.
No, don't.
Back
don't
when they were super good games like Qbert and Zork.
I don't know. I think age has a lot to do with it. Age and experience. I mean, honestly, how long can you expect to go playing?
I wouldn't necessarily say age, because I feel for the younger gamer community, they're mostly, you know, a majority of them are just caught up in Fortnite all year. Yeah. Like, to the point where they learned every single dance and, you know, like...
It's a thing.
Mm-hmm. So we'll see. We'll see. I have high hopes, hopefully, for a better 2020
in Call of Duty regards mobile.
To gaming. For my actual personal enthusiasm.
It wasn't a huge year, for sure. There's been years where we're like, fuck, look at all these amazing games we got. This was not a huge year for...
I don't know. Was there a year like that?
I remember 2013 was like super good.
2013 was a lot of roguelikes, so maybe that's why. Yeah. I think I like 2016. Wait, 2015 was Wolfenstein. 2016 was Doom. Like, that was a good patch for me. The MOBAs were huge at the beginning of the decade. I don't know. This is stepping on a listener question we'll have at the end of the show, so I don't want to talk too much about it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So I got to check out. I want to. All these mobile games, I want to play them all. I'm always looking for good mobile games. They all seem to be...
The winner was Call of Duty Mobile. What the Golf is on there. So Ray really liked this game, and I was recently listening to Jack Black on Conan O'Brien's podcast, and he was talking about how he's addicted to this What the Golf game.
Huh. What happened to his YouTube channel? Did he stop doing it?
No, he just posted something. It was like a promo thing with him and The Rock and Kevin Hart and a cutout of the Jonas Brother. It was kind of funny.
Oh, that was a Jonas Brother. When I was watching Jumanji, Next Level,
yeah.
I was like, isn't that a Jonas Brother?
Yeah,
yeah, now I know.
Yeah, what happened to the beard, Amelia?
Is that that's what's different.
Work. I could have a beard, but in order to wear... I'm going to go do this job. So does anybody have a mask? And the safety guy just happened to be there. And the safety guy's like, you know, the mask is not going to do anything because you have a bunch of fur on your hair, on your face. So you can't do that job. And I was like, I'm the new guy. I got to do all the war shit. So I just got rid of my beard.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't a big deal.
Yeah, I'm sure it grows back fast.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah. Cool.
Yep.
All right. I don't know if I have anything more to say about the Game Awards. I thought it went pretty well. You know, it's...
Do you concur with most of the winners?
There are a lot of mobile games, console games. So, I mean, I can't.
And then you said.
Yeah, it's weird.
And then I think you misquoted the winner for ongoing game because Fortnite got the winning.
No, I was talking about community support.
Oh, community support. Yeah,
so, but I did like ongoing game. I thought that was a good category. Yeah.
Yeah, because games have a much longer lifespan.
What's performance?
Oh, probably like. Voice acting?
Yeah, an actor.
Oh, okay.
I mean, usually it involves more than voice acting now. It's like mocap
Disco
and all
Elysium
that.
Disco Elysium actually won Best RPG. What did it compete with? Wait, why is Final Fantasy 14 on there?
Because it's an ongoing
game. Against Kingdom Hearts 3? Oh, gosh, not a good year for RPGs. Maybe that's why I'm a little bit, like, underwhelmed. Because I do feel like RPGs are one of the bigger reasons, like one of the categories that I don't talk about much as a PC gamer, but... True to my core, growing up, RPGs were all that I would care about.
I feel like they're kind of in the decline. Like,
we're
big
in the
RPGs,
decline, dude. We're old and we don't have any time. Who's got time to play an RPG?
I feel like they're not coming out that either.
Or they're coming out on mobile because mobile gaming is huge.
RPGs,
I don't touch it. Yeah, I don't touch mobile games.
There was
so maybe...
Kingdom Come. There was that one that looked like The Witcher. As far as RPGs, like they're
Can
just
I see the real-time strategy? Sniper just brought that up in chat.
Is there a real-time strategy category? I don't think there is. I'm searching the wrong thing.
Mm-hmm. See, those, maybe it's because in the categories that I actually really care about, the selection is poor, in my opinion.
I think for
me, it'd be RPGs, shooters, and RTSs. So I'm not sure.
Yeah, real-time strategy probably just got grouped in with strategy game.
Fire Emblem
Three Houses.
I didn't even know they had Fire. I guess Fire Emblem's kind of an RTS.
It was also the Community Choice Award too.
Okay,
Bobby, what was Wargroove again? Can you click on it and remind me? It's at the bottom of strategy. Never mind. Didn't know what the fuck this was. I did play this. I did play this. Yeah.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah, yeah.
That's so cute. That puppy.
It wasn't bad.
Oh yeah.
How about co-op this. Though?
Yeah.
Was there a co-op category at all?
Co-op?
Yeah.
Yeah, multiplayer. It was Apex Legends.
Well, no, I mean, multiplayer though. It's not necessarily co-op.
No, I don't think there's.
I don't know. They got enough categories already. I don't know if co-op would make the cut. So yeah, Apex Legends won multiplayer game. It's probably good. Division 2 was up there, Borderlands 3, which is a co-op game, so I guess multiplayer includes co-op.
Bobby, did you end up finishing Disco Elysium?
No, not yet.
Mm-hmm. Guys, by the way, I know last podcast you stated that we all were going to try the games, then come up with the winner, but the way I'm going to be involved in that is I'm actually going to play the winning game of the year. Because there's no time in my
now there is.
Now there is.
Yeah.
But I want to play other games instead. Because I haven't streamed in 2 months. I've honestly not streamed in 2 months, guys. That's how busy I've been. In terms of not busy like I'm working or anything. I physically have been away from my computer.
Yeah.
So I've been traveling a lot, been doing a lot of different weird stuff. And
weird stuff.
So, not weird stuff.
Let's talk about some weird stuff.
No.
No.
So it's finally time to get a routine back in. So, like, I actually have time to be at home now, which is all that I'm saying. Cool.
All right. So, I guess the only game that was played this week was The Dark Side Detective.
Nice.
Well, I did play some Stardew Valley, so, but we don't have to.
We talked about it last week, right?
Huh?
We talked about it last week with their new update.
Yeah, and there are more stuff that I found out, but I'm just not going to be a huge spoiler for that game. So
okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right, The Dark Side Detective. So this game actually came to my attention when I was talking to Nathan from Sick Chicken Studios about his game Guard Duty, and he was talking about, he's really into pixel art, and he was talking about how impressed he was with this particular game. So dude, I was like, okay, I got to check this out.
These interviews have been really good for your gaming, you finding new games.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's, you know what it's also been is being on Twitter as well. I'm following people whose opinion I respect, and then they recommend a game or this or that, and then I'm like, okay.
Oh my God, it's almost like it works. Twitter works if you know how to use it.
No, honestly, when I stream on Twitch, my followers, they know me well enough to talk about relative things. Because if somebody comes in and pulls a Shadow Master and throws a game that's like not completely relevant to my interests, it's like instantly thrown out. But then like people come in, they're like, oh, gee, I thought of you.
Look at that. Did Shadow Master, she threw you out without you even trying right now, man.
In the beginning, he was learning, remember?
Yeah.
To bring up games that would be relevant to us and what we would want to talk about.
Yeah.
So. But sorry, Bobby. Continue.
Damn, look at the reviews. Overwhelmingly positive.
The reviews are very good. Now, this is a short game. It's a point-and-click adventure game with a few puzzles, but very, very light on the point-and-click part. It's pretty straightforward. It's almost like an adventure game, but I do enjoy the puzzles. But what's really great about this is, I mean, first of all, the pixel art is very good.
Yes.
It's got... It's hard to describe, but it's got kind of like a softness to it. Usually you think pixel art, there's very jagged edges, very harsh edges. This one, I don't know, the shading in it, something about it makes it look a little smooth. And also the lighting in it. I really like the lighting. It gives it that, there's soft glows from monitors or street lights, the moon, like they all have this kind of aura. I think visually this game looks great. On top of that, it's also got a pretty good story. No voice acting. I understand when they don't do voice acting in a game like this. It's probably a small team putting this together. But, I always enjoy the effort when they put in some voice acting. But a lot of comedy in this, a lot of referential humor from the 80s, 90s. You can see Gremlins there. It.
Yeah.
All sorts of things. Jurassic Park. And the writing is pretty funny. And you kind of, you solve cases. You're a detective that investigates like the supernatural for a town called Twin Lakes, much like Twin Peaks. So each level is a different case and each one's kind of themed out in a certain area. And I've beaten technically the game, but there's 3 bonus missions afterwards that I actually do want to play because I do enjoy going through this game.
That's pretty fun. Is it anything like Phoenix Wright I know Phoenix Wright is a lawyer, but
I've never played Phoenix Wright.
Different chapters are just different cases.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
So it's almost like a standalone. Each case is a standalone experience.
Yeah, the three bonus levels like have nothing to do with the original story, Bobby? Or you don't know?
The first six cases are all connected and kind of like a bigger narrative, like the main story of the game.
Yeah.
But do you go around and do you just click on stuff? Or I think I saw some puzzles on there too.
Yeah, you go around, you collect items, you use items on other objects, you combine items. Yeah, it's like a typical point-and-click adventure with an inventory system. But yeah, there are times where it stops and there's some little like matching puzzle or something like that. But really the dialogue is what cracks me up. I took screenshots of this and I forgot to share it so I could show you. But what cracked me up right away and what I indicated right away is that... let me start over. I knew right away when I started playing this game that I was going to enjoy the humor because of one particular joke. He picks up a magazine and, you know, quick preface here. I'm obsessed with like magazines and games, almost as much as pizza and games. Yeah. But I love like when you see a magazine in a game because it's usually nobody pays attention to it. So it's like the developers having a little fun and putting something weird on the cover.
Right.
For instance, Payday 2 has Bro Magazine. And it's got a picture of like some young kid with like a Justin Bieber haircut on it and just says bro at the top. I think in Fear 1 or 2, there is a crate enthusiast magazine.
That's awesome.
And it's just got some crates on it. There's also one that, I don't know, there's so many. I used to take
Skyrim has like 1,000 books, 1,000 different titled books, and you could read them too.
Yeah.
And I saw on Skyrim, which I like to check out from time to time. The guy had collected them all, and he had made a library for them. And he's like, "I have every book in Skyrim." That's, like, man, it's too much.
Too much. See, a magazine, you just look at the cover, you get the joke.
Yeah.
So, right at the beginning of this, you click on a magazine, and he says something like, "You're in someone else's office," and he says something to the effect of, "God, this guy is really into jugs." You know, and he's looking at a magazine, so thinking jugs, and then you click on the magazine and it pops up and it's like, you know, Jugs Weekly or something like that.
Literally jugs.
Yeah. And then there's like two jugs on the cover and then in the corner it says a lovely pair. And I'm like, okay, this is hilarious.
Oh, wow. Cause
I love those jokes where it's just like you think the punchline is going to be dirty and then they totally, subvert that. Yeah. And it ends up being clean. That's like very Bob Saget type of humor. Of course, then after the clean punchline, he has like the double punchline where it turns gross again and then he goes back and forth. Yeah, he's a weird guy.
That girl is just like that too. Silverman, she does that too.
Yeah,
she thinks you think it's going to go super gross. Yeah, she goes back and forth.
Yeah, so right away I knew I was going to get the humor of this game. I did enjoy it. I do want to play the other three levels and might be talking to the developer here. I don't want to spoil anything, hopefully we can work that out. I think that'd be really cool. I'm really, really, this game, I think I spent 3 hours to play through the six case files. So very quick. I mean, 3 hours is nothing, right? But I'm really enjoying these short experiences. Like it's just, I'm not into long games and not even that I don't have the time for long games, but long games take forever to get to the point, man. They just take so long.
It's drawn out.
I had that problem with A Plague Tale last week. I had that problem with Jedi Fallen Order. It's just like 5 hours in, I'm like 5 hours into the game and I'm like, oh, okay, now it's getting good. Now I'm getting into it. Like 5 hours.
That's, meanwhile, you could have played two of these games.
Yeah.
Well, what about games like Divinity 2? I'm going to be getting back into that.
Oh, in your face, Bobby.
That's a long game.
Divinity 2? Oh, Divinity 2 is good from the start, though. The first one's the tough one.
What?
Well, because you played Fort Joy 10 times. Gee,
well, no. No, I love Divinity, but I mean, it just counters as like, I hate long games kind of thing.
No, tend to take a long time to get to the point is what I'm saying. And yeah, I mean, maybe it's just me in the position I'm in now because we played Divinity 2 during summer when I had a bunch of time off. So now that I don't have much time,
we haven't really touched it.
But Divinity 2, I mean, I don't know. It's just like these single player games that they're overloaded with cutscenes.
But it keeps you committed. Maybe that's what it is. these games that are longer for you, there's really no, is there no actual...
Maybe that's it, because Divinity 2 hooked me right away, and mm-hmm. Jedi Fallen Order, I was just like, okay, I know how to crouch under long, I know how to jump over a stone, I know, like, all these basics, and then, like, the story, yeah, that's cool, but I don't need to see, like, half an hour of cutscenes. Like, I want to play the game, and I feel like they got the training wheels on, you know? Mm-hmm. So, I don't know. Divinity 2, there's definitely no training wheels, so...
Yeah, right, for sure it. Not. Except for the training wheels were Divinity 1.
Yeah, yeah, really. Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, Divinity 2 is also not for everybody. Jedi Fallen Order is for everybody.
I don't know, dude.
Really?
I guess.
Like a middle school kid's going to play Divinity 2?
It's so good.
Like some real nerdy kid.
If I were to just throw it out there, what's like DLG's game of the decade? It would probably be Divinity 2.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it would just be hands down until Cyberpunk comes out.
Yeah,
who knows?
Yeah, that's a possible contender. That was a good one. All right, so yeah, Dark Side Detective. I'll probably finish up the missions later this week because I'll have a little bit more time this week. But who knows what I'll get into next? I don't know. Let's talk some news.
All right.
First,
we talked about the Microsoft Red, I guess.
Yeah.
Is there any, what are the specs? What's going on with that thing?
Well, so as part of the, we already talked about this, but part of the Game Awards, they announced the Microsoft Xbox Series X, and that is going to be coming in the holiday of 2020.
Have you seen it, G?
As the PlayStation 5.
There you go.
Yeah. It looks like a tall rectangular cube.
Yep.
People have been,
pretty much it.
If you look on our Discord,
there's so many memes.
Yeah, making or posting pictures of this like as a fridge, and the PlayStation 5 as a vacuum cleaner.
I saw as a Twin Towers. Yeah, it's just, it looks like a whatever. It doesn't really matter what it looks like.
They said it's going to be capable of 8K gaming, frame rates up to 120 frames per second, ray tracing, variable refresh mm-hmm. rate. I mean, pretty much like an already built computer, yeah. A pre-built computer.
But
that's what people are saying.
It's weird because I don't know what direction they were going with making it look like a tower. It almost looks like a bookend, maybe to put it up on the shelf. It's more Who space knows? Convenient.
That's the other thing.
It looks like a PC tower, but
if you look at the top,
smaller.
That's probably where they do their ventilation. So this is kind of how the Mac Pro... Yeah, the Mac Pro was designed as well. Tall cylinder ventilation at the top.
People are going to be throwing this around like a football, I bet you anything.
Why would they do that?
Because people are intelligent beings and do sensible things all of the time.
There will be a YouTube. Like, how far can you chuck it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, purse, hot potato, the Xbox Series X.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like that's going to be a thing.
That is a weird one.
I am kind of confused as to why people are memeing on the shape and look of it so much. I mean, it's a black rectangle. It's probably the plainest thing you could ever see in your entire life.
Maybe absolutely.
But then everyone looks at the PlayStation 5, and I understand why, you know, there are the memes about that. I mean, that looks like a spaceship from Star Trek.
Yeah, but apparently they showed the PlayStation 4 developer kit, and it was super space age looking too, like mm-hmm. that's just their, like, that's not the final product.
It's like the prototype.
What's,
yeah,
PS5 look like again?
Oof. Worse than that. At least that's simple. And I forgot, Bobby, you probably love the Xbox design, right, Bobby? That's like right up your alley.
It's not official though.
Yeah, that's not official. That's just a developer kit
that I don't think they would do that.
It looks like Obi-Wan put in his mouth to breathe underwater when they went to talk to the Gungans.
Honestly, if it had some, like, freaking, I don't know. That slot is just...
Speaking of Star Wars, Bobby, when's Rise of the Skywalker?
The 20th.
Oh, I thought it was the 16th, which is tomorrow.
No, there's early showings.
Are we going to try to do it?
I've already got a ticket for the 20th.
You son of a fucking bitch. I was not consulted nor spoken to.
I'm probably going to go see a movie tomorrow.
What are you going to see?
Either Richard Jewell, Jumanji 2, or Uncut Gems.
Let's go see Jumanji 2. I'll go. I'm off tomorrow.
One?
Uncut Gems, Adam Sandler.
Oh,
it's the one I'm most looking forward to.
Yes, Jumanji 2, like, I could do, like, well, we'll talk about it after.
Okay, yeah.
Tomorrow, if I could do something towards you guys, that'd be great for me.
Like, oh, on your way home?
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Mission Valley and Fashion Valley are good for me. But Mission Valley is the only, did you know that's like the only theater around here other than Plaza Bonita that has Dolby Cinema and IMAX?
I didn't know that because those are my
local San Diego talk, folks.
Yeah, super local stuff.
Yeah.
The new Xbox Series X box. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Looks like
you called it right.
An extra large Alexa.
Except for Alexa's round, but yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a box.
It's a box.
And then it's got the ventilation at the top and the ring light.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So can you imagine?
Bobby loves it.
Can you remember the red ring of death?
Right,
if
Bobby?
That color changes to red when it...
Yeah, I like the look of this.
Yeah, I thought so.
Yeah,
I mean, don't spill your drink near it.
It looks like a monolith. Screwed.
I have actually quite often...
Obelisk.
So. I have quite often spilled liquids on my electronics, unfortunately so, but right. I do. I like to eat and drink around my computer and around my TV.
Well, you live around your computer.
Yeah. Not much room for my cups to go, so I feel like...
It'd be a good...
It could potentially doom the system. Whereas, like, anything before, like, I would quickly just wipe it down or wipe it off.
Yeah. That's a nice flat surface. You could even...
It's a cup holder.
Yeah, it's a little concave. It'll hold whatever.
Oh, man.
All right. Next up, this is just something I wanted to mention briefly. So I talked a few weeks ago about GOG Galaxy 2.0. The client that you import all your libraries into and you can load all your games from, that is now open to everybody. You can sign into that. It was invitation only, but now you can go to GOG.com and just download it for yourself. And I highly recommend it. It's pretty good. Have you seen this, Chi? I don't know if you were here when we talked about it.
That would be pretty cool. All your games and your friends in one place. So you're able to see who's online. So if you really wanted to lurk one of your friends and see what they're playing, if they had this too. No, they don't even need it, do they?
It has its own.
So you can see where all your... Oh.
Yeah. And
are you actually able to see what your friends... Because sometimes I want to play with a friend and I don't know what they're up to. It shows that they're online, but it doesn't actually actively show what they're doing. And then, like, if I notice that, oh, they're actually on BNet, like, I'm not going to hunt them down.
You see them on Discord. You see them online on Discord.
Or on Discord or something like that. Yeah. I guess that works, too.
Yeah, that's probably the best way to tell. But no, all this does is, so you import all your accounts, Steam, PlayStation, Microsoft, Origin, Epic. Mm-hmm. You import all those, and then it just adds the games to it, like just kind of links it.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have one interface where you have all your games listed, and they got really good sorting, like ways you can sort the games. It's pretty convenient if you have multiple games in Uplay, Origin, Steam, like all the different areas there.
I would like to try it out, because I'm always complaining about... launcher is not really being anything that I want them to be. So this is...
Well, it's very simple. It doesn't have a lot of the bells and whistles, but it's got, I don't know, everything, like a very slimmed down version of it. I really enjoy it. I've been using it.
I mean, if I can launch my Origin games without actually launching Origin, I would not complain. Or does it make you launch Origin after you pick the game on GOG?
It's very seamless with Steam, but some of the other libraries, not so much. So if you launch something on Origin, you'll see Origin kind of pop up. You'll see like a little indication that the game is launching, but you won't notice it too much. Steam, you hardly notice it at all. It just pops up with the little black window and that disappears and then the game launches. Very, very seamless with Steam.
Okay,
next up here. System Shock and other games to get 48-hour Steam demos.
Cool.
I'm sad that I missed this. I didn't understand what they were talking about when they announced this on the Game Awards. It wasn't very clear. But what they were doing was 48 hours starting on December 12th, you were going to be able to play demo versions of the following games.
Dude, I picked the wrong week to not be at home.
Yeah.
That's now, pretty cool.
Out of all these games they list, the only ones that interest me were System Shock and The Drifter, which I've heard good things about. But yeah, so for 2 days, you could have played... Oh, Carrion is on there as well. We talked about that.
And it's moving up that multiplayer moving game that was supposed to almost be like Overcooked.
Moving out? Probably. Yeah. I mean, it's Team 17. Let's see.
I think we talked about it once.
I don't remember talking about it.
Oh, yeah, it is so cute.
Yeah.
So it's like a house moving out.
It's like a couch co-op teamwork game. And instead of the kitchen, I think it's more like packing and moving and all of that. So
I already had a moving business. I'm good.
But you could be a chibi and do it.
That's true.
Yeah.
I think it's cool that they're doing this, and it just goes to show you that what we talked about in weeks prior, that demos are coming back. Like, that's a thing again.
Sheer Ponage 68. Love the podcast. Glad I could catch a live stream. I always like to ask new people, what do you think of what we look like versus our voice? You don't have to answer now. Mm-hmm. But anyway, we'll see if he gets back.
Take your time.
Yeah.
All right, last bit of news here. PewDiePie says he's taking a break from YouTube next year. So he released a video where he talked at length about some complaints he had about YouTube's new policy. YouTube's new policy basically outlining harsher restrictions on... let me just read what they had said here. They're going to be prohibiting videos containing veiled or implied threats against people, as well as content that maliciously insults someone based on protected attributes such as their race, gender, expression, or sexual orientation. So they're going to get a little more stricter on that. He went on a bit of a rant about that for 10 minutes, and then at the end said that he's going to be taking a break from YouTube because he's really tired.
Yeah. And, you know, it's up to who's, like... who gets to choose what is malicious and veiled or implied? Those are the big ones. Like, they could just say that about anybody. They could say that about Chi and her crib things.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I know.
No, I'm making a point. Like, you were just kidding around. But
actually, that's the thing, too. From this past month, hanging out with my sisters, my cousin is so close to me, I call her my sister too. Yeah. They were both like, we got into arguments because I was too abrasive, not towards them, but towards other people. And it turned into a huge thing. And it really made me like,
awkward.
Yeah, like rethink like how I actually talk to or about people. And it wasn't even like a matter of gossip. I was just like if somebody gave me attitude, like I basically like I return fire with lava. Like I'm very confrontational. Whereas I feel like a lot of women,
I haven't seen much of that. I mean,
I am categorizing, but I know a lot of women who are very passive aggressive.
Yeah.
And I don't know how to be passive aggressive at all.
Yeah.
And
you're just aggressive.
And then also being a gamer girl and also being constantly,
you have to have a thick skin.
Yeah. Constantly in a position where I am defending myself. It was weird because I got in trouble with the women around me for defending myself against men.
Yeah.
It was really weird. It was really
that when you were
weird.
In Japan?
In Japan and in New York.
New York.
Yeah, I don't know. But it was really weird. Huh. And I wasn't even actually in arguments with people. I was just making very abrasive comments, and it was really frustrating for the women around me to deal with.
You should stand up for yourself.
I do. Every single time, that's exactly what happened, and that's what got me in trouble with the women I was with. It was so weird because I was standing up for myself with other people.
Maybe it embarrasses other
and it probably did.
More meek person people.
I don't know. Like, we're not going to use the podcast space to like elaborate a lot on it, but I do come off as very abrasive. I mean, the first 10 seconds of this cast, I was super abrasive, so I don't know.
Go fuck yourself, world. We're okay here.
No, it's okay. Like, we're all considering
positive
change.
We're on our red couches
change.
And we're having a good time.
Toxic as fuck. Yeah, I'll take that as a title. Just put that on a t-shirt for me. Send it for me. Send it for my Christmas Secret Santa, Jebu.
All right, let's talk a little hardware before we move on to listener questions here. So, Chi, you got a new mouse?
Yes, indeed. So, the Glorious Model O Minus mouse, it's actually not for me. I bought it for my boyfriend. Because tis the holidays, the gift of giving. He has a gamer laptop, and he uses the Logitech wireless mouse that everybody else has, which is a reliable, like $999 mouse that, you know, runs off of AAA batteries and lasts forever.
Yeah.
But I'm playing more games with him. I want him to play shooters with me. I'm like, you're going to get a real freaking gamer mouse. This is not okay. And I don't think it's okay that you think it's okay that you're using that mouse. Sorry. Like I said, I come off as very abrasive. And so for Christmas,
there's a man with a beard on this mouse, guys, just to put you, so you have an idea of what we're talking about.
So the mouse that I got him, is
actually, also a rainbow.
I was inspired to buy this mouse from someone on my regular Discord server. He had bought it for himself, and I said, perfect price point, perfect company brand and settings that I would want to offer a good gamer gift mouse. So for $50, guys, this is a Glorious O. Glorious O is a company that has been around for a while, and from what I understand, it's from the gamer for the gamer, type of company where they actually really listen to feedback and try to make quality PC gaming peripherals that is actually reasonably priced versus just being oversold and frills and brand, just like most other just content and branding in general. So the Glorious O mouse, what it is, it's a extremely lightweight, if not one of the most lightweight mice out there. It's got that honeycomb ventilation thing on it, and I'm pretty sure that's mostly for just weight purposes. It's an RGB mouse too, which isn't really important for me, but his laptop is RGB as well. And it's got quite a few really good settings. I did very minimal research before I bought it, but after I bought it, I was going out there and kind of comparing, okay, how good was this purchase?
Yeah.
And so
it looks different. I like it.
No, it's actually really lightweight.
Super light.
I got to use it. We traded out our Christmas gifts pretty early this year.
Here's your gift. Now give it.
Yeah, exactly. Pleb. So I bought him a wired mouse. He's going from wireless.
You know your Homer when he gave Marge a bowling ball, knowing that she doesn't bowl.
Oh yeah,
it's just like took it right to the lanes.
No. I mean, he's a gamer, and I can't believe he's been using that basic mouse and new mouse pad. And I was like, no, we're going to send, and I think on the thing, it describes the word ascendance. And you're like, look, you're ascending as a gamer, you know, as your girlfriend.
Are you also telling him to grow a beard?
He can't. No, he can grow a beard. He can't for his job.
Right.
And then, what was I going to say? Oh, no. So, like, you know, the core basis of any relationship is growing within it, and I'm trying to grow his like gamer guy ability. So this mouse is awesome. It's got the DPI switch, it's got the RGB settings. You could change out you can format up to six different DPI settings. You can pre-program that into the mouse. You can pre-program the RGB settings. You can make the lights color static. You could change the speed of the light, and it's super lightweight. The cord itself is, I forgot what the thing's called, but like it, like when the cord is moved, it doesn't move the mouse along with it. So it's actually a really lightweight, really good gaming mouse. It's mostly for, I would say, what do they call it? For very finger grippers. A claw gamer versus a palm gamer. Yeah. I'm definitely a claw gamer. Uh-huh. I don't like large set mice. I personally use a Zowie ZK1. I was almost considering buying this for myself first, but my Zowie's still performing really well, so I ended up giving this to my boyfriend instead. So for the holiday season, the gift of of course. So I gave the gift of better gaming.
What did he get you?
He got me he got me like a little Zelda ring. He also got me chocolates and conduction headphones that I had lost once before. And he replenished my the fact that I he knew that I had lost my favorite pair of headphones, and he rebought them for me. So, so yeah, very thoughtful tech giving for the holidays.
I feel like I get, if I gave you a Gloria So for Christmas, I'd have to go talk to HR.
Oh my gosh!
You guys see what I did there? God damn it!
I got to answer to Sam. HR is Sam. Anyways, if you're looking for a really good gift for your PC gamer that's low budget and just does a lot for its price point, $49.99. I got the matte black Glorious O minus, which is like the smaller version of a mouse. It's pretty rad. Great reviews. Tried it out myself. Yeah, no complaints.
Great reviews for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. Nice. All right. Speaking of other hardware, let's take a look at this PC Gamer article. Hardware of the Year Awards 2019.
I don't know. Is this the first time? I don't remember them doing this before.
They might have, and we just didn't notice it.
Now, I don't know. I don't know how they do business. I don't know if these are bought and paid for, these winnings. I think that they're not, but who knows? I don't think so, though. Anyway, the two most notable things are the card and the CPU. Not the CPU so much, but the card I was pretty surprised about. It's the RTX 5700 AMD. So I think they took a price into consideration for this as well.
Yeah, for the price, that's a fantastic card.
Yeah, and then the Ryzen chip. Because, you know, obviously they came out with new technology that even Intel was like, yeah, but we're still Intel. Besides that, the MSI GL63 is the best gaming laptop. We don't have to go through all of them. But it was just the first two that I really wanted to talk about. Oh, and I wanted more gaming. I want a different gaming headset. So the Razer Kraken Ultimate apparently is supposed to be really good.
I hate Razer headsets.
I hate Razer everything.
Yeah,
but
I despise Razer headsets.
But if they make a good shit, they make good shit. I don't know. I'll at least try it.
Oh, my case.
Is that yours?
Well, it's no. That's the more modern version of my case, I think. But that I do have an NZXT case.
So do I.
So
as well, yeah.
Cool. Best gaming PC. Omega chair. Who do I know that has? Oh, okay. That's a monster fucking chair. Yeah. I sat. One of my friends has the Omega, the Omega chair.
Yeah.
And I sat on it and I was like, I felt like Goldilocks. I wish airplane seats.
Is he a big
seats.
Dude?
Yeah, he's a big guy. I think he's like 6'5".
He probably ordered the big version, I imagine.
I don't know.
Yeah, they have. I know Razer has this. You can put in your weight and your height, and they'll recommend you.
Oh, okay.
So it's probably
recommended for you. But yeah, my feet did not touch the ground sitting in that chair, and I was like, "Oh my gosh, I'm a little." You know, it's like this is huge. This is the Papa Bear chair for sure. And that's another thing, another speculation about PC gaming chairs. Like, I don't like that. Like. That a lot of that it's supposedly bigger is better. It's really not. Because I feel like with the RX, what is it? The RX racers, DX racers, DX racers, like that is that shape of the back of the chair is what is deemed as a good PC gaming chair now. And I'm saying this because I used to be in ergonomic furniture sales. I used to sell chairs for a living. So I just don't want the visual consensus for a gaming chair to be just the DX Racer or the Omega, where literally you feel like you're in like a futuristic race car.
So. Even though you worked in ergonomics, your opinions on sitting.
Huh?
Your opinions on sitting are very low on my opinions because I've never seen you be comfortable. You're always messing with your...
Yeah.
Like right now.
Like moving.
You don't have a back support. You took it out because I guess it's more... And then...
Yeah, because... So that way there's more space for me to sit and to move and keep the circulation flowing in my body because...
I don't get it.
I mean, without blood, there's no life, so...
I guess... I don't get it. So
the coffee makes you jittery.
You deal with things that I don't deal with. I don't know. I'm always comfortable as long as I'm sitting, even on a cactus or a dildo.
What?
Or a cactus dildo.
So let's mention one of our other sponsors here, Gorilla Mind. If you go to our site, dealgaming.net, you'll see a link that you can click on to buy some of this stuff. So this is What is it?
That's a nootropic.
Yeah, but do people even call it nootropics or nootropics anymore? Or smart drugs? I don't know. It's supposed to increase focus and alertness, and you know, mixed results. We talked a little bit about it last week. I've still been taking it. I'm just about out of my gorilla mind rush, and I got to remember to bring the other stuff for you, Chi, so you can test it out.
Why did you never even try smooth? You haven't even tried it?
No, I started with the rush, and I haven't gotten through it yet. So, okay. Yeah, and then we want Chi to check it out so she can try the smooth. Plus, you know, I needed the rush, man. I needed the heavy stuff. Yeah.
He still misses rock stars.
Yeah.
This is good if you're trying to quit energy drinks or coffee in the morning, especially. Like, this gives you that little pep, and it's, you know, depending on how much you have in your stomach, like, it's pretty quick acting and can be pretty strong if you eat it on an empty stomach.
The nice thing about this is I don't necessarily want to quit coffee or energy drinks, but I do like the idea of convenient energy. Yeah. So if popping a pill gets me, and I have taken caffeine pills, tablets before. So if popping a pill gives me the same effects rather than waking up, cleaning out the coffee pot, because I forgot to clean it out from the night before, refilling it, doing all those extra 5 minutes worth of steps. Like, and that's me. That's how I gauge like my movements. You know, and actually, and then by the time I pour that coffee, wait for it to cool down, drink it, not get distracted by something else before I make it to the bottom of the cup, and then not even get the appropriate effects from the coffee because I either forgot to finish my coffee. Like, it just, it would be more convenient to just pop a pill and then,
yes,
and then reap the benefits.
That's why it's called pop a pill. It's just like, it's the easiest thing you could do.
Yeah.
So come pop our pills.
Yeah. I'm saying, like, that's the main appeal for me before, like, you know, ADD won't even let me finish a cup of coffee. I think so.
See, like, all those problems you just went through, I don't understand any of them. I just drink my coffee and go.
I must have like undiagnosed ADD or something. Yeah.
Oh, I've diagnosed
tasks are hard,
you
guys. Tasks are so hard.
Yeah, I will say though, you got to be careful with this stuff because a lot of people, they expect to pop it and just automatically feel like wired or smart or something like that. And that's not really going to happen. It's very subtle effects. And unless you're doing something that actually requires it, you may not notice the difference. It's kind of like steroids. I mean, you don't take steroids if you're not working out, you know, that's just to give you like, you know,
maybe
a,
you, bro,
a little extra boost. And it's much like Gorilla Mind or any other nootropic. Like, you take it if you're in college, if you're studying, if you're working, you know, if you're trying to play an instrument, or maybe if you're in the gym and you need a little more focus. Like, use it at opportune times and be careful about taking too much because there are some negative side effects, at least that I've experienced if I take too much, like headaches, tinnitus, or
Rock hard cock.
you can be a little more irritable too if you like to, especially if you take this stuff with caffeine. Like, you won't even notice it. You'll just be like, why is everyone being such a pain in the ass today? And the shocking realization is that you, in fact, are the asshole. So you gotta
it's
be
funny
careful with this stuff.
It's, well, when you think about it, I actually have hormonal issues. And it will, and it really does, like, it, like the smallest little thing, like, you know, so it does it like ensue PMS or something like that?
Well, we like, don't know. We don't
like,
have PMS
or
parts.
Like, or like the effects of the film.
Bobby, has it affected your PMS? Would you say
it
has been exasperated? Exasperated?
And then, and when I say I have hormonal issues, I don't have a thyroid in my body. And so if I miss taking my, my hormones, my pills, it actually affects my mood. And and people can say a lot, people who have the same issues as me can say the same.
Stop not taking your pills before you come in here.
Ran out of time. I was going to go pick up my prescription. But then I realized traffic would have taken me an hour. So I'm like, okay, I can't. I have to hold it off.
Her excuse for being late
got
today
my cup
was
of coffee instead. So maybe instead.
her excuse was she took the wrong freeway. She's been here 700 times. Took the wrong freeway,
folks.
Well,
because muscle memory
right
always puts me on the 5.
Oh, to go to work.
To go to work.
Yeah.
Anywhere I go, I take the 5.
I used to do that shit all the time.
So, yeah, check out our website, dealgaming.net, and look for the link for Gorilla Mind there if you want to give this stuff a shot. We do get a little kickback from that, so it would help us out.
Yep.
Listener questions. Let's do it.
Oh my God, Derek, you, the first one.
Mm-hmm. Now, this one came in a little late last week. We didn't see it last week, so apologize for that. But we'll get to it this week. Dirk Rocks asks, ever get to a point where games aren't that interesting anymore? That's pretty much where I am now.
That's Bobby's life.
That's what we were saying earlier in the cast, where it's like, where's my enthusiasm for gaming? What happened?
You hear this from everybody at some point, though. Mm-hmm. Like, this is bound to happen. I mean, honestly, I like to compare it to masturbation. Like, how long do you think you've been masturbating?
Yeah, forever.
Yeah.
Since I fucked that couch.
Yeah. So, like, at some point, as great as it is, like, there's going to be diminishing returns.
Yeah.
You know? It's like you can't just keep playing video games, like, over and over and over and playing new ones and expect it to not get dull at some point.
Doing the third day of ecstasy without sleeping, like, that is diminishing returns.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, you're just reaching for something that's at that point. But yeah, and a lot of people hit this and they're kind of like, why is this happening? Like I talked to, we had a younger friend, I think he's about to turn 21 now. You remember Tyler?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So he would like hit this. I'm like, dude, that's just, you're going to hit that every so often, man. Like you're just going to be like, I'm not into video games and you just need to like step back and do something else because that's just like anything, man, like anything you're just going to get burnt out on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And especially when you play as much as we do, like for this podcast, and just you play the variety of games, it's, you start to feel like you've seen everything, you've done everything. You start up a game, you're just like, all right, I get mm-hmm. it.
Yeah. Well, I'm
in a good spot right now mentally for games. Like, I'm like, I really, there's like fucking 15 games I want to play right now.
Yeah.
And I'm excited to play them. I just don't have the time.
I feel like I got my, I haven't, like I said, I haven't streamed in 2 months. I got my dry spell out of the way. I am ready to get back into it now. I feel more mentally like ready to just be like, I need this. In fact, it's kind of funny because I've had stints where I wasn't my like normal, and someone, a female, asked me, they're like, gee, have you had any time to play games? I'm like, no. They're like, oh, okay. Maybe
that's why you're such a bitch.
Maybe
yelling at our waiter.
Maybe you need some video game therapy because video games are an outlet.
Yeah, for sure.
But yeah, like too much of anything is never really good. But at the same time, too, it's like, I think partially also it could be what's available out there. You know, like
some years are better than most.
Yeah, and then sometimes, you know, I rely on my friends to help create enthusiasm around something.
Yeah.
So if my friends aren't into it, I'm less into it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
All right. Next question from Torta. With confirmation that new consoles are coming next year, how long will you wait before upgrading your rig? How often do you upgrade your rig, and are you brand loyal?
Whatever the consoles are doing has nothing to do with me updating my rig.
Yeah.
Also, brand loyalty. Bobby said it a lot of times. Once you get into the using all the NVIDIA stuff, like, it's nice. You know, the NVIDIA GeForce Experience has some nice bells and whistles there.
You just get used to it. I'm sure
you get used to that
stuff. It's like an Apple versus Android thing. You know, whichever camp you have spent the most time with, like, that's just what you're used to.
I don't think it, brand loyalty is the right way. I mean, not the right term. I would describe my peripheral preferences or my spec preferences. Like, I do, or interface preferences, like you said.
Well, like, peripherals, maybe not. I mean, like, CPU and graphics card, I'll probably always get Intel and NVIDIA just because I'm comfortable.
I'm the same way. Yeah.
But everything else, nope, could swap those out.
If I was ready for an upgrade and Radeon had a better card for a better price, I'm going to go Radeon, I think.
So it's whatever the Black Friday special is?
Yeah, well if it's...
Oh, performance. I mean, it's going to be hard to top what you have right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, but yeah, whatever console is out has no effect on on when I upgrade.
I feel like I upgrade as needed. Especially, yeah. I don't get that, like, when I see that sparkling new GPU on the shelf, I'm not like, ooh, I've got to have it now, you know, or anything like that.
You wait till shit breaks.
Exactly. Yeah. And like, or even if it's like on a really good clearance, I'm like, ooh, that's a really good price to pick up like the 1080 Ti at. Right. I'm like, that's not when I'm sold. I am only sold when it's a necessity.
Yeah.
So it's like when my PC has to go to the PC auto shop,
yeah,
a repair repair shop, that's when I'm like, okay, let me consider the upgrades, and I'll upgrade in bulk.
Yeah.
So when I'm actually reflecting and looking at my rig as a whole, I'll make the upgrades as it deems necessary. So,
Bobby, we missed this in hardware. Your car broke down.
Oh yeah, so a rat chewed through a cable on it.
Wow, why did you have a cable made out of cheese?
Well, what happened is last Monday, rather than come over here, because we were starting to record a little late, so I just said I'm going to stay at work and just get some stuff done. I'll leave, you know, like 5:30 from work, and apparently a rat, which, you know, that where I work was built on a giant field. There's a lot of wildlife up there. So a rat or a mouse or something must have crawled into the engine, bit a wire. My temperature gauge wasn't working, radiator fan spinning top speed. And yeah, that was super expensive to get replayed. Not covered by warranty. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's
what if it wasn't a rat? What if it was a rat at the auto shop jeopardizing your car?
I don't think they'd have any reason to lie about that.
No, actually, I should take away the shock. The same shit happened to me 2 years ago.
Well, I mean,
but it happened out
these
here.
Rats got expensive taste, man, because it never had this problem before. Someone was telling me, like, oh yeah, they're putting soy and
that's
like,
what I heard.
The pipes and
from the from the mechanic. He told me there's soy in the wire housing.
Animals are attracted more, because I never had this problem before. But yeah, I've heard of plenty of people happening. But yeah, it actually really sucked because I had to do a whole, like, I'm not the type of person to complain, but I had to do the whole speak to the manager thing because they told me they weren't going to cover the repairs. And I was like, okay, that really sucks, but I get it. But then they told me, oh yeah, and that rental car that we said we were going to cover, yeah, you're going to have to pay for that too.
Ooh.
Like, time out. And you know, the repairs cost $440.
Yeah.
The rental car was like $80. You know, it wasn't like a whole lot, but it was still like, you know what, dude, like I'm pissed that I have to pay to get a car with 13,000 miles on it repaired in the first place, no matter what the reason. And then you throw this out.
Get him, Bobby.
Plus it wasn't explained to me. Yeah. I wrote a scathing email. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what I started doing? I got this like Pest Away or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And you spray it around your car, like when you think it's at risk.
You put a kidney in your engine?
Yeah, I should.
Well, I just started parking just in a different spot. I don't know. I've heard people say, like, put downy
fabric sheets?
Yeah, fabric softeners in there.
They don't like the smell.
Say, yeah, like wolf urine. I've heard people say, like, leave the hood up.
Yeah, that's what it has. It has wolf urine, the shit that I was spraying. Or at least it mimics it or whatever.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm just going to not park near the bushes. We'll see how that goes.
Yeah.
All right. Next question from Torta. What is the last game themed item you bought? So not a game, but a game themed item.
I bought what's the monkey from Overwatch?
Winston.
Winston. I bought a little Winston doll. And I bought all kinds of, I never used to buy any of that shit. I'm not into it, but I bought all kinds of fucking wall of shit that we used to have. And now we don't use any of it. And it's all sitting right over there. And now we have
the figurines and whatnot.
Yeah. And we have unsteamed curtains instead.
Wrinkly fucking curtains.
Shelves are kind of hard to work with. But yeah, you know, the last thing I think I bought, I must have bought something before this. But the only thing I can think of is back in 2016, I bought that Stitches plushie down there that you see. You can't see it on
screen. Was that a TwitchCon?
Don't tell me you took that long to buy something nerdy, Bobby.
No, the only reason I bought that was because you got a skin in the game that was really cool. It was the Bikini Stitches, which you can get those very easily now, but for a long time, the only way you could get that skin was if you bought the Stitches plushie.
Oh, for what game was that, Bobby?
For Heroes of the Storm.
And what's going on with that game now?
We'll be talking about that later, actually. when Zap asks, what is one game that defined the last decade for you and how?
Yeah.
So that was Heroes of the Storm for me, for sure.
Yeah.
So for me, I almost buy gamer related stuff in the regular because I love giving gamer related gifts.
But you just bought one. The mouse?
Gaming related. I did, you know, I did buy a couple like gamer t-shirts, but I for my little brother when I was in Japan and I went to the Orzio Cafe. Hopefully I'm not butchering that because I did actually play Final Fantasy 14.
Not one Japanese person listens.
And then I bought him the Final Fantasy 14 symbol keychain, and it's really cool. I'm going to give it to him for Christmas. And nice. Yeah, like I said, I love buying my gamer friends or relatives gamer related stuff all the time. So I'm going to give him one. It's not a keychain. It's one of those, like, it's a keychain, but it's the utility one where, you know, you could like, you know, like for instance, like those hydro flasks, and they have those like utility chains at the end where you could push it in and then hook it onto stuff. It's not just like a cosmetic keychain, it's a utility loop. Do you have any idea what I'm
no or is like, it like has know, a zip line kind of thing?
No, I mean, no, it's just like the metal part, and people use it a lot for water bottles and, you know, those little braided cords, they always have them at the end. It's like a utility hook.
I'm just going to let her die on this vine. I don't know what you're talking about.
Because when you think of
keychains... Bobby, do you know what she's talking about?
When you think of keychains, you just think like of the little loop, and then you have to string or thread something through
it. Okay, yeah.
But this one here, it's more... It is actually, it's still a keychain, but it's got like more utility to it. So it's
like a clip?
Yeah, it's like a clip.
Oh, okay.
Utility clip.
Yeah. Right?
That's what those things are.
Carabinger.
Huh?
No, I'm lost. That's what they're called. Those clips. Never mind. Let's keep moving on.
Yeah, so it's not just a keychain.
Carabiner. That's what it's called.
It's not just a key...
Sounds racist.
Oh my gosh.
Two Mexican jokes in one.
Anyways, yeah.
Carabiner,
so
yeah.
That
look
is
it up,
lost.
Bobby. See if it's what she's talking about. That's how you spell it, apparently.
Carabiner?
Yeah.
I'm sorry, carabiner?
That.
Yes.
Yes.
There you go.
Yeah. All those 2 minutes, you could have just said one word. But I didn't know what
but
the word
no one
was.
Knows what a carabiner is, but now everyone knows that's listening right now.
Yeah.
So it looks like a utility loop.
Okay. It's a utility loop.
Can you just Google utility chain and see what it comes up with? Or
how did we get down this rabbit hole again?
I don't know.
How do we get out of it?
Oh, it's a Final Fantasy thing that she bought.
Yeah.
Final Fantasy utility loop?
No, just the utility loop. Just to see what I'm... Yeah, just go down.
Yeah, it's definitely
just scroll
not
down.
Go
images. Kind of similar, but then that's actually made out of cloth.
Yeah, except we're not.
It's not a utility loop at all. Just kidding. Utility. Okay, let's move on.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Gladly.
Very much like a carabiner.
Yeah.
Whatever you...
Okay.
Whatever it's actually called. Jeez. All right.
Prosario asks, do you guys own or collect any old big boxed PC games from the golden days? And if not, what's one PC game, new or old, that you would love to own a nice physical copy of?
I have a very, well, one, notoriously, I don't feel much nostalgia, so there's not a lot of reason for me to hold on to stuff. And two, I am the throwaway guy. Like, if there's something I'm not using, if it's not utilitarian, or at least art, it's just getting thrown out. Like, so if you give me a Christmas card, I open it over the garbage can. If there's not money in it, I just drop it. Like, I don't even read it usually. Because it's not, like, not written by the person.
Yeah, no sentiment at all, eh?
Yeah. If it's like, handwritten, I'll read that part. But, like, yeah. So,
I keep all my Christmas cards and notes.
But the last big box thing that I bought was probably... I feel like Diablo came in a box. Diablo 3? No.
Yeah, that was digital.
I don't know what it was.
Unless you got some sort of special edition deluxe thing.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. I haven't had a boxed game in a long time. I know I had the Half-Life games boxed. Never really hung on to them, though.
I remember buying Counter-Strike from the orange, like the real orange box.
Orange box. Gee, you still have... Like
yeah,
big
yeah,
box
Warcraft 3
stuff, right?
Yeah, I have Warcraft 3. I thought it was just Starcraft and Diablo 2.
No, you had Warcraft 3.
Oh wow, yeah.
We have to move.
Yeah.
When you two helped me move, Bobby was looking at my PC box collection.
Yeah,
and it's not many, but they're all the Blizzard box set. Not like the original. I obviously bought the games. I'm pretty sure I bought the games like just when it was just a game. On its own, but then I rebought them as the box set that comes with the strategy guide and the game, and those are the ones I kept.
The only reason I remember you have that gaming box is because when I lifted it, my C6 and C7 fused together. I was, you know, you remember the hard ones.
Yeah.
No, it wasn't that heavy, but she does have a nice little gaming.
Do you have any fatback TVs? Like any tiny TVs for me? Like, I don't really need a nice fancy one, but like a nice, like retro.
I have one sitting out right now, but it's already spoken for.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I want a TV. It doesn't have to be a fancy anymore. Okay.
I have a 9-to-5 now. I don't.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
It sucks. I used to like be like junkyard Santa Claus. Like, here, take this stuff.
Yeah.
Not anymore.
Oh, God. All right. Neo Reloaded asks, how close are you guys IRL? Do you hang out outside of the podcast? I can imagine that's Bobby being happy to get out of or get the podcast over and done with so he can get away from the riffraff.
Yes. First of all, correct.
No, not quite. Summer.
But, yeah, like when Bobby went to that, that Rick and Morty thing, my feelings were hurt. That it wasn't even
oh yeah. And all these movies you guys are going to see without,
well, we haven't got to watch. That's happened once.
Tomorrow. Love it when we hang out though. Like when, no
we
matter
do.
What.
We do hang out. Like, it's tough because, you know, we all got so much going on.
It's tough because Bobby's sober. I'm a bartender. Emilio lives in almost Mexico.
Yeah.
You know, and
literally we used to call
Ray
this AM.
Literally MIA right now.
Yeah.
Ray is my purse holder right now.
Yeah. We can't even get together online to play video games.
Oh, but I think we get along better in person than we would as gamer friends though.
Yeah, because we're non-toxic and...
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of tough, but yeah, since the podcast began, we've hung out many a time before, and then of
sure,
course...
Sure, but it's been 5 years.
Since we started the podcast?
Yeah.
Yeah, but even between that, I mean, we've done stuff together.
Yeah, like five things, dude.
We've gone out to dinner, we had DLG Con, we were hanging out a lot.
Eight things in 5 years? That's a lot.
I don't know. Hey, I mean, do you hang out with, like, other friends?
Yeah, that's why they call them friends.
Or do they just, like, come over from time to time?
That's
you got a lot
thing.
Of people going in and out of the South.
I don't live in this. I'm actually considering moving again just to have...
I'm not moving you.
To actively be someone's roommate. Or to have a living space. Because I can't invite people over to have game nights or board game nights. Or even cook people dinner because it's like... I live in a shoebox, and I live by the beautiful beach, but at the same time, it's like the things that I can't host anyone at my place.
Yeah.
And I used to always, like when I lived with, not with my most...
I mean, a boyfriend, he fits.
Well, no, like both, when Max and I lived together, we shared a small studio
we
as well.
Talk about
him. I know, we don't talk about him, but I've never... It's been probably 5 years since I've lived in an establishment. 6 years since I've moved out to San Diego outside of when my sister moved away. I have yet to live in an establishment that would cater to me throwing or hosting anything at all. That sucks. I think that's a huge part and huge element of my personality that I literally cannot cater to. When?
Once at your place.
Which place?
Next to Max's place.
Oh, yeah, I did once.
One time.
Oh, with egg rolls?
Yeah.
Yeah, there were egg rolls.
You had your bed on top of your ironing board, which was on top of your kitchen. But, yeah, you made it work. Right? Remember that, Bobby?
Yeah.
Oh, and your green screen was on top of all of that.
I need to move. Help me move, guys. I need to move again. I need to be, like, I need to host things again. Oh, my God.
You can live in here.
It's really?
No.
Can I live in your trailer?
Somebody does already.
Your human bullet. What is it called? Not the human bullet. That's my sister. The bullet looking.
The Airstream.
Airstream, yeah. Okay.
Next.
All right. Next question from Zap. Best gaming related memory of the last 10 years?
10 years.
It's the end of a decade.
What the hell? That's a huge fucking convoluted question. Like, how can I look back 10 years and just come up with one convoluted? Is that the right
word?
That's
still Warcraft days, I think. I would say probably like me and Chad taking down, like when we were both class leaders and then taking down like big game in Warcraft and on Raid, with that took a lot of like communication, a lot of planning and all that stuff. Probably something like that. Like jumping up in your seat, running into the hallway, hugging each other. Like, yeah.
I don't have an answer to this because I have way too many gaming related memories that are just too good to say one's better than the other.
Yeah. It could have been the rage quit of 2005, 2006, 2007.
I don't know. I really can't say, like, I have one best memory. Like, there are so many good memories, like landing with my brothers or popping Starbucks espresso drinks to play Divinity all night and throughout the night, and strictly just to play the video game. We don't say his name anymore, right?
Yeah.
So, or even just side by side playing Stardew Valley.
Let's change his name. From here on in, he'll be known.
Why do we have to change his
minimum
name? What? Max is now Min.
Yeah.
But Min is my little brother's name.
And also Minnie Del Macho.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Bobby?
I don't know. It's hard to pick out a singular event, but I really enjoyed the days when we all played Smite together. You, me, Chad, Pedro, Albert.
Yeah, there was some good shit there, man.
Those were the times, man. We had some
Hold down your shirt, Emilio.
I've been doing it over and over. Here, fuck it. Let's just...
It's not warm enough in this studio for clothes to just magically shrink on us.
Good. Anybody need some lint?
He just went crop top with his shirt, guys. Jeez.
Yikes.
I pulled it down 3 times. I'm sick of it.
You need a t-shirt that says...
That's fat.
No, like it's like I became pregnant because my girlfriend's pregnant too, or I'm pregnant with my girlfriend.
Weight. Yeah.
Yeah, it's sympathy weight, exactly.
But it worked backwards. I think she got pregnant because I was so fat.
She got envious of your baby belly.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or you grew so much into dad bod, you were like that you suddenly became like ready to have a kid.
That's true. But yeah. Yeah, I was so dad bod before that I became a dad, yeah.
Oh my gosh, did you? Okay, remember how I was saying girls find me very abrasive?
Yeah.
I think I am just the worst person. I'm sorry.
No, you're not.
I think I'm hurting your feelings. I'm sorry.
No, I'm not. No. No, I'm self-deprecating.
All right, another question from Zap. What one video game personally defined the last decade for you and how? So I already said Heroes of the Storm, definitely for me. Lived and breathed that game. You know, it's the last game that I ever really tried to be the best that I could be at. And
if there was a thing you were into, like you were into the Reddit, you were into the, like probably the social media even, you were reading the casters, you knew them.
Yeah.
Every single thing there was.
Into every aspect of that game. I really enjoyed it and I really believed in that game. I still think it was a fantastic game. I thought it was the pinnacle of MOBAs, but it just came too late and it took too long.
I think a lot of people didn't get it, too. Like, the other MOBA people came over, and they didn't know that it was...
It was very different.
Yeah, it was very different.
It was a lot more team-oriented. You relied on your teammates, and I don't think that crossed over when people...
Like, on paper, if somebody was like, let's make a MOBA that's mostly team fights, that sounds awesome, because that's the most exciting parts.
Mm-hmm.
But it just didn't play out.
Yeah. Yeah, we've already done the post-mortem on HOTS.
Yeah.
For me, the one video game would be DayZ, because that was the first game I ever streamed. And I had so much fun streaming.
It was the beginning of an era.
Yeah, it was the beginning of my very best. I met my very best gamer friend on the day I streamed.
Yeah.
I mean, shit, like, because I was a streamer, you guys invited me to, you know, interview on the podcast, and lo and behold, here we are, you know. So I would say DayZ was the survival game that started it all.
Yeah. Bobby,
defined Smeechee, more or less.
I'm glad we paid Smeechee. $300 for a light not to turn it off. I just realized.
Yeah, we
not to turn it on.
I noticed that earlier in the show, but I was not going to mention it. Yeah, we'll just be a little dark on this one.
Yeah,
we're operating in the shadows.
Racist sidebar. All right.
Actually, it was better because my eyes were a little bit strained.
Yeah.
The start of the show, so I think that was doing me a kindness not turning that on. So you were preemptively looking out for me.
The Binding of Isaac. It's like. it made me a fan of a genre, and mm-hmm. I have not let that genre go. I'm not mm-hmm. even gonna bore you guys because that's all I play. Mm-hmm. I played one game today or this week for about 15 minutes. It was Binding of Isaac.
So my CSGO is your Binding of Isaac.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah,
I think so.
And then Bobby, you don't have one anymore, huh? Because it was HOTS.
Yeah, that's what
the one game that you keep going back to.
Yeah, I don't know. TF2, but the great thing about TF2 is it's actually pretty easy to let go. I mean, it's really easy to get back into, but it's really easy to quit as well.
Yeah.
I mean, it doesn't have any of those like manipulative things that hook into you, I feel.
I don't know. I feel like CSGO is the toxic ex that I can't let go of.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Probably. All right, last question from Zap. Dogs or cats?
Dogs.
Dogs.
Oh, cats. Jeez.
What?
Yeah. Really, Bobby?
Oh, yeah, dude.
Your girlfriend has some, right?
Yeah, she has two. One I'm not a big fan of. The other one's all right.
See, that's the thing. Everybody's a fan of every dog, except for you and all dogs.
I like my parents' dogs, sort of. And one of them's a Chihuahua, so that's saying a lot, but it's the laziest Chihuahua I've ever seen. But the other one's cool. I like Mandy. But no, I never really liked dogs. I always found them kind of annoying.
Huh. Mm. And of course, Bobby or Jocko loves him the most. Just jumps all over him every single time.
Oh, yeah. He always greets me.
Yeah.
Yeah. But cats, I don't know. Cats are cool. They kind of hang out and they do their own thing, whatever.
I always hated cats. Like, it was just a default. Like, oh, I hate cats. And then I moved into this house and we had a cat. And it mm-hmm. was the coolest cat I've ever met, man. It was fucking awesome. And it's not dead, because I'm saying pets tense. But when we got Jocko, she packed her bags and left. She lives two houses down now. Yeah.
No, I saw her maybe 2 months ago or something.
Yeah, we saw her about...
She's in the driveway.
Yeah, she's like, I don't know, 15 calico. Or 16, yeah.
I have a neighborhood cat. Not a neighborhood cat, but in one of my house, like the apartment mates that I have, the studio mates, I suppose, previously before an owner abandoned her cat, and there's this one guy that takes care of her in terms of like make sure she's groomed, makes sure she's fed and watered, and she loves sleeping on my furniture and like letting me pet her. She's super friendly.
She's like the neighborhood cat.
Yeah. And she
communal cat.
Like she like whenever I come home, she'll meow at my door, and then like if I leave my door open, she will literally just like walk in and act like she owns the place.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, but then I'm like, Callie, only humans allowed, you know this. And then she just like cruises out. Like,
you don't let her in?
Huh?
You don't let her in?
I let her in, but then I don't let her stay.
Oh.
Gotcha. Because I just don't want her. Like, I let her in. The last time I let her in, and then she just starts scratching up a storm.
Oh, yeah, get the fuck out.
Yeah, and I'm like, you don't do that when I'm petting you outside, so why are you waiting to do it inside my house? And I'm like, yeah. Out with it, tway with you.
Yeah.
I wasn't mean to her.
Tway.
Tway. So.
All right, last question from Shadow Master. What do you think of Kevin Smith's movies?
Who's Kevin Smith? Is he the... Like, if I could take a guess, like, in my head, he's the guy that plays the villain with the really skinny nose.
No.
No.
He's
okay.
Not an actor.
Okay, then I don't know.
Yeah, he's an actor. He acts.
I guess.
He's more of a director.
Yeah.
Have you seen Jay and Silent Bob?
Yeah. No.
Okay.
Clerks?
I don't think she'd
see. Black and white.
Seen oh, I've Clerks. Seen. I think I've seen Jay and Silent Bob, the movie. Yes, I did.
Oh, okay.
When I was really young.
He's Silent Bob.
Oh, so, yeah. Oh, he is. Oh,
but he's the director.
Okay. So, okay. Kevin Smith. Okay. All right. Yeah. Now I know who he is.
So. So Clerks 1, Clerks 2, Dogma. What was that one with Bruce Willis? Red something.
No. It's,
Chasing Amy.
Cop. Yeah.
Yeah. I and like then recently Amy. Tusk. Yeah. Chasing Amy is supposed to be his best one. So I never really watched his movies until much later. And I think it was a couple of years ago. I went back and started watching his movies and I didn't really get it.
I mean, so I'm a huge fan of the guy. I've listened to thousands of hours of his fucking podcasts.
He's got some pretty good stand-up too.
It's not stand-up. He's like, he goes up, like he'll go to like Comic-Con and then do a Q&A, and that shit's just hilarious. He's such a good speaker. He's a much better speaker than a director, in my opinion. If you want to, if you have no idea what we're talking about, look up like when he explains when he got picked to write the script of Superman. It's in two parts. It's on YouTube. It's fucking hilarious. It's so much fun. Just the whole story and the way he tells it. And that's what inspired him to start his own podcast. He was early to the game. He was in the game before Rogan was. He was like the fourth podcaster or something like that. Hmm. So.
Yeah. Well, I mean, his career in a nutshell.
Facts of the DLG podcast.
Yeah.
His career in a nutshell. In a nutshell, he kind of like hit it off with Clerks and everybody was like, oh my God, this guy's got so much talent. This guy's amazing. And then from that point on, we were all kind of waiting for him to have another great movie, and he never really delivered. It was kind of like an M. Night Shyamalan thing where you know, Sixth Sense comes out and it's just this huge hit. Of course, he had some good ones after that that people liked, Signs and Unbreakable, I guess.
But the other thing is, too, I feel with Kevin Smith is that I think people really, really like him. Mm-hmm. And so he always got big name actors, especially for like Dogma, is full of like A-listers.
Well, he kind of defined the 90s indie scene. Like he kind of birthed that a little bit. So everybody was really rooting for him. And he was very, and the thing about him was with Clerks, that was very representative of like nerd culture in the 90s, which now nerd culture is culture. But back then it was kind of more of a niche thing and people felt really represented when, you know, he had a scene where some guys, like two clerks in a store, were just arguing about Star Wars, you know? And people were like, oh my God, that's me and my friends. Yeah. So everybody immediately felt this connection with him. But I don't know, man. I watched Chasing Amy, don't get it. I watched Dogma, I was like, yeah, that's all right. But I never
did you watch
really
Tusk?
I actually want to watch Tusk. I know I'm going to hate it. I hated the very idea of it, but I'm such a big Justin Long fan that I'm like, I'm going to watch it.
So the thing about Tusk is he came up, him and Mosier in Smodcast, the original podcast. They came up with that whole idea while they were super high, just fucking kicking things back. And it was a joke. We're like, oh, what about a man who turned another man into a walrus? It was just like the tangent that you go off of.
Yeah.
And then like a month later, he was like, dude, I'm going to make this movie. And then Mosier, which is like his buddy, I think at that point was just like, I just can't follow you down this road, man. I'm not going to produce your movies anymore. And I don't know if they do Smodcast anymore, but like, yeah, he made the movie. And, you know, I don't know if it made its money back. Red State was good, Bobby.
Red State, the one with Bruce Willis?
Yeah, I don't know. No.
Which one am I thinking of with Bruce Willis?
Because he did a buddy cop movie. No, he made a buddy cop movie with Bruce Willis, and it was terrible. It was like the worst movie ever.
Yeah, that was the one where everyone was like, whoa, hold the phone.
Yeah, this is
that one and one other one. I can't remember who was in it.
Check out Red State, though.
Okay, I'll check it out. Yeah. That, and you know what? I actually like Jay and Silent Bob, but it's a stoner comedy. I mean, like, who's not going to like it? It's just a dumb stoner comedy. And I am looking forward to the second.
The sequel, right?
Yeah, the second one they're coming out with, where Jay and Silent Bob are super old. God, they look so different now. He's like a huge proponent of Weight Watchers or whatever. They got a different name for it, but he's lost so much weight on that.
Yeah, and, well, he's vegan now, too.
Wow.
Yeah. Hmm. All right.
Okay, what's everyone playing next week?
Work?
Well, I will not be working mostly throughout the holiday season. Slowed down a lot.
Yeah.
So I will be getting back into streaming. Finally, guys, I'm sorry I didn't stream Japan. I'm sorry I didn't really keep everyone in the loop. I didn't even stream for my birthday. So it's time to play catch up on video games and on streaming. I am in the mood to play some Valve titles, so I might play through the Half-Life series because I never actually beat the Half-Life games. And
any of them?
Any of them. Wow. So except for, well, it's not a Half-Life game, but I've beaten the portable games, and I still religiously play Counter-Strike.
Definitely if you play Half-Life 1, don't play Half-Life 1. Play Black Mesa, right?
Black Mesa. Yeah, it's funny you should mention that.
It's a reboot.
I was thinking that's what I'm going to play this week. Because last time I played Black Mesa, it ended right before Zen, right before you go to that alien world. And I've heard that they've either completed the game or I know they've made more
progress.
Yeah,
I think they finished it.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I think they finished it.
I might want to.
Outer Worlds too, Bobby.
I think I might check out Black Mesa and then also try to do a co-op Half-Life 2 experience synergy. I think that's what it's called, where you can actually play Half-Life 2 co-op, and I've done it before, but I never really got far in it. And then, of course, the Half-Life 2 episodes 1 and 2, I want to play those. So, and of course, my little brother, like I said, he's he just purchased an index. I'm going to prepare myself to be able to play Alex, so I want to know all the backstory and everything else. And of course, I'm the biggest, I call myself the biggest Valve fan, and I haven't actually beaten a Half-Life game, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
At least one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Alex doesn't come in till 2, and then you have episode 1 and 2, which are really short, but she's mostly in those games.
Yeah. So. Yeah, yeah, of course. At the same time, you know, it's like, I've loved those games. Half-Life is the first PC game I really ever played-ish. I think Duke Nukem was, actually. Yeah. But you know, like, I started with Valve. And
for me, it's Disco Elysium, and... Ray's game of the year is Outer Worlds, and I've already played that for probably 5 hours or so I'm good on that. Not that it's a bad game, but you know, we're trying to spread the love around here. Anyway, speaking for Bobby, Chi, and myself, sick, really low energy podcast titties, everybody. Bye.
Insidious titties.
So you can play Disco Elysium.
I have it. It works.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
Oh, that's right.
I think mine doesn't work for yours.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's like...